Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Beis. Before we begin our shiur, just a general word that the Tosfosin that we will, Amir Tzashem, be learning require a general picture of the Gemara from here at the beginning of the Masechta till Daf Gimel, somewhere in the middle of Daf Gimel. So, bearing that in mind, we're going to go through the Gemara, get a general picture of the Gemara before we start the study of any of the of today's Tosfosim. So now we turn to the Mishnah, and I hope everyone is equipped with the Sefer Pirush Chai, a book of illustrations that accompanies a large section of Maseches Bava Basra, authored by Rav Chaim Porush Shlita, and that will certainly be a very useful aid as we go along. The Mishnah. Hashutfin shirotsu lasois mechitza b'chotzer, boinin es hakoisel be'emsa. You'll notice the diamond that is featured, that highlights the different locations in which a mechitza will be featured. Now, what exactly is the word mechitza? That's something the Gemara will discuss. On a most superficial level, mechitza would be a division or a wall in this particular case, in a chotzer, in a courtyard. So, partners that are in joint ownership of a chotzer, if they want to make a wall, they build it in the middle. Mokom shenagu livnois, in places that the custom was to use different building materials, and the Mishnah now lists the different materials. Gvil, gozes, kfisin, levenin, bonin, hakol kemenega medina. So the general custom is to be followed. Begvil, zenoisein gimel tvachim, zenoisein gimel tvachim. If one is using the gvil substance, the gvil building material, so then each partner will contribute from his property three handbreadths, which is the required width for the gvil type wall. Begozes, zenoisein tvachim umechza, zenoisein tvachim umechza. If using the gozes type stones, then each one gives from his own property 2.5 handbreadths, which is a total of 5 handbreadths for the thickness of a gozis wall. Bekfisim, zenoisin tfachayim, zenoisin tfachayim. Each one, in the case of kfisim, provides 2 tefach of property for the kfisim type wall. The levenim, zenoisin tefach umechza, zenoisin tefach umechza. I'm using levenim, each one 1.5 tefach for a total of 3. Lefikochim nofala koisel. Therefore, if the wall happens to fall down, hamokim vavonim shel shnehem, the spot on which the wall stood and the materials that are now scattered will belong to both. V'chein begina, and likewise with regard to a gina would be a literally a garden or an area in which vegetables are raised. Mokom shenagu ligdor mechayven oso, where the custom is to construct a mechitza, so they are obligated. Avol b'bika, but in a bika. A bika, you can see in Rashi, is a sada halovan, which would be a grain field. There are large fields that in which grains are produced. Mokom shenagu shelo ligdor ein mechayven oso, in places that it's not customary to build mechitzas between the properties, they are not obligated to do so. Ela im rotza, if one bilka owner should decide that he wants a wall, kainis l'sof shelo, he then withdraws to within his own property, totally within his own property, uvonet, and builds a wall. This is, of course, in contrast to what we saw earlier in the Mishnah, where each neighbor contributed a part of his property for the thickness of the wall. Not so in the case of the Bika, where the custom is not to build walls between the properties. So, if one wants to do so, he withdraws into his own property, ubone, he builds a wall, the oise choses mi bachutz. The term choses is something the more we'll describe later, but it has to do with a type of marking on the wall, a thickening of the wall at the top, a sign. So a choses we can translate as a sign. He makes a sign, mibachutz, from the outside, which would indicate that that he is the one that built the wall. Lefikach im nafal akaisel. Therefore, in a case like that, if the wall fell down, hamokum vavonim shalo, the spot that was occupied by the wall and the stones belong exclusively to him, the one that built it. Im osu midas shnehem, if they decided, he and his neighbor both decided to build a wall, boinin es akaisel beemsa, they will then build the wall in the middle, meaning each one contributes an equal amount of property for the thickness of the wall. The oisim chazes mikan umikan, and a sign is made on both sides of the wall to inform the public that it was built jointly. Lefikachim nofal hakaisel hamokum vavonim shoshneim. Therefore, in a case like that where the wall falls down, the spot occupied by the wall and the building materials, the stones, belong to both of them. The Mishnah is going to be analyzed quite thoroughly throughout the Gemara. You'll notice, by way of markings, we have a bow tie and a Roman numeral number 1. The Roman numeral number 2 will appear at the very top of Daf Gimel, Omid Aleph. These are two lushonos, two versions, in how to explain the expression in the Mishnah where it said, La'asois mechitza. The first approach will suggest that Lasus Mechitza is a reference to Guda, a wall, an actual wall. The second approach will suggest that it means to divide, more of an action as opposed to a wall. The Gemara will then get into a subtopic when we get to Amud Beis, which we will introduce then. In the meantime, Savruha, the initial thinking is, my Mechitza, what does mechitza in the Mishnah, we mentioned Hashutfen Shirotsu Lasus mechitza at the beginning of the Mishnah, what does mechitza mean? Guda, a wall. And now the Gemara presents a brisa, Tanaic source, in which you see the term mechitza used in that capacity, a reference to a wall. And the source that's cited is from the realm of Kilayim, the prohibition of intermingling different types of fruits and vegetables, and in this particular case reference will be made to a Kilei HaKerem, that's having grains and vines planted without a separation between them. And so I want to just emphasize that the whole reason for this brisa, things that's being cited in this Gemara, is to highlight the use of the word mechitza as a wall. Kedesanya, mechitza sakerim shenifritza, a wall between a vineyard and a grain field that nifritza, that broke, ruining, we'll say, eliminating the division between the two areas. Omer lo gedor, the owner of the grain field tells the owner of the vineyard, build up the wall. Chazra v'nifritza, and after he rebuilt it, it then broke again. Omer lo gedor, the neighbor says, build it up. So you see that this wall has already fallen down twice. Nisyayish, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Nisyayish heimeno v'lo gadra, if a point is reached where the owner of the vineyard has given up and doesn't rebuild it, then Hare Zeh Kidesh V'chayev Bach Riusa. That causes, Kidesh means it causes the grains to become forbidden. If the grains grow in a non-wall situation and where there's no division between physical division between the two areas, if the grains increase even 1/200th in that state, the the prohibition of Kilei HaKerem sets in and they become prohibited to benefit from. Now we turn back to our discussion. In the Mishnah, reference was made to partners that want to build the wall. V'taima derotsu. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, the appearance of the wall there is because they wanted to build the wall. Ha lo rotsu ein mechayven oso. If there wasn't joint agreement to build the wall. Let's say only one of the neighbors wanted the wall and the other did not. Then we don't force the other one to contribute, to participate. Well, what this leads us to is the following conclusion. Almo hezek ri'io lav shmei hezek. Literally, hezek ri'io is damage caused by looking. We would offer a common understanding of that as privacy. Invasion of privacy is not considered a source of hezek, a source of damage. Something that would be considered a source of damage is would be something that we can force the other party to contribute to prevent. But here we see that only because there was mutual agreement to have the wall built, then the wall is built. Otherwise, no forcing on the one part of the other to build the wall. You'll notice, by the way, marking-wise, we have a diamond here. This is, and we've highlighted the word Alma. This is an attempt by the Gemara here, and we will see another diamond of the similar nature, four lines from the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara will, in light of the second version, as we said earlier, will try to come to a conclusion regarding the issue of invasion of privacy. Is it considered a source of damage? For the time being, though, it appears that Hezek Ria, Lav Shmei Hezek. The Gemara now considers an alternative understanding of the Mishnah, and it's interesting to note that the suggested alternative right now, in fact, is what version number 2 on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph says is the pshat in the Mishnah. But right now, we're presenting this as a suggestion. You'll notice the triangles that that appear in an alternating direction each time. So we have a type of give-and-take situation. The Gemara says, Emo my mechitza pluta. Maybe the meaning of mechitza in the Mishnah should simply mean a division. Kidichtiv, and here we cite a pasuk to show that the word mechitza means a division, splitting something. It says, Vati mechsas ho'eda. And in this pasuk, the mechsas means part of the eda, part of the congregation. No reference to a wall, but rather a division. One part here, one part there. So that the Mishnah would be referring to a jointly owned courtyard, and they agree to make a division, to divide the property. Half for you and half for me. The Kevon Derotsu, and at the point that they agree to make the division, then the Mishnah says, Boinin es hakoiso. A wall is built. Baal korcho. Once they agree to make the division, then one can insist that the other contributes to putting up the wall. Baal korcho means even against the other party's will. Alma, well, if we were to take this approach to the Mishnah, where they agree to make a division, then one can force the other to put up a wall. Alma, this would lead us to the conclusion, Hezek Rio, Shmei Hezek, that invasion of privacy is a source of damage, and therefore, since it's a source of perceived damage, the one party can force the other to contribute in the construction of the wall. The Gemara asks, well, if that's your approach to the Mishnah, Ihachi, if the Mishnah is to be understood as that with the word mechitza meaning making a division, Hai Shirotsu Lazus Mechitza, the current language of the Mishnah, of Shirotsu Lazus Mechitza, that's not accurate. Shirotsu Lachtos Mibayale. Grammatically, it would have been more accurate, it would have been smoother to say, partners that Rotsu Lachtos want to make a division. But it doesn't say that. Elomai. So then, what are you suggesting? Guda. That the Mishnah is a reference to they want to make a wall. Then, again, there's a type of linguistic or grammatical difficulty. The Mishnah says, Boinin es hakoiso. Boinin oisoimi bale. Would have been more appropriate to use a pronoun. In other words, you begin the Mishnah by saying, Shufim that want to, lasos mechitza, that want to make a wall. So I know wall has been mentioned explicitly. The continuation should have read, Boinin oso, but they built it. We already referred to what the it is, what the pronoun is referring to, and yet it says, Boinin es hakoiso. The Gemara responds, we're going to stick with the build, that alasos mechitza means to build a wall. E Tana Oso, had the Mishnah simply used the word Oso as opposed to Es HaKoisel, even though the expression of Es HaKoisel seems to be redundant, if it would have said Oso like you suggested, Havi Amina, I would have thought that the Mechitza referred to B'Mesipas B'Alma. Mesipas B'Alma is a very flimsy type of wall. It's made of slats of wood, pegs that are low, that are stuck in right between the two properties. Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, Daya lechalka b'mesipas shel yesedos, which are eitzim, slats of wood, kuyim v'aretz nemuchim, that are wedged into the ground, and they're lowly, and that's not much of a, it's not a very significant type of division of a wall, but that's what I would have thought had the Mishnah simply said bonin oso. But by using the word koisel, I understand we're dealing with a much more significant wall structure made of stones, as we saw in the Mishnah. The Gemara continues once again with a quote from the Mishnah. Boinin es hakoisel be'emsa. It's pointed out by the Rashash, according to the Tosfos, that this line is an attempt to raise a question on the opinion that said that the mechitza is a wall. So if the mechitza referred to in the Mishnah is a wall, is it necessary to say that the wall is built in the middle, pshita? Is that not obvious? Is it not obvious that that partners that want to build the wall, where else are they going to build it? They're going to build it in the middle. Is it not obvious? Lo, tzricha, no. It needs to be taught under the following circumstances. The kodim chad v'ratzi l'chavre. One of the neighbors, he started building, and he influenced his friend, the neighbor, to agree to the wall. Mahu detema, without the Mishnah saying that the wall is to be built in the middle, I would have thought motzi omale, the neighbor who was convinced by the first party, can say ki istratzoiloch, when I agreed to having the wall, ba'avira, I agreed to your building the wall, that will reduce the, we'll call the airspace, the avir. However, b'tashmishta lo istratzoiloch, but I didn't agree to have the wall actually built on my half on my property as well. Komash Malon, the Mishnah, by telling us Boinin es HaKoisel be'emsa, is saying that when you agreed to have the wall, you agreed also to contribute your half of the thickness of the wall from your property. Before we go further, let's just look at the Rashi on this last piece of Gemara. Deratzio chad minayu lechavrei. The case of the Mishnah is where one influence the other. Bikesh mimenu lecholka b'mechitza. He prevailed upon the neighbor to have their jointly held courtyard divided by a mechitza, by a wall. Mahu detema, without the Mishnah saying b'inus akesa b'emtza, I would have thought omar lekishin esratzi loch. Rashi continues b'mechitza, when I agreed to have to your request to have a wall, mechitza daka nisratzesi, I agreed to have a very thin kind of wall, lumute bavira, and what that would have done would be reduce the openness, the airspace. Kagon shel nisorim shidaka, a wall made of wooden slats that are very thin, vehezek ria ein ba, and that would prevent the problem of invasion of privacy. Oh, timshol. Or if you want to deal with a thick type of wall, the entire thickness would have been built in your property. chutz midavar muad, with the exception of a little bit maybe encroaching on my property, aval livnos kaisel levonim of limute nami tashmishi losos nisratzesi, but to have a thick stone wall that would also encroach on my property, that I never agreed to. So once again, the Mishnah by saying Boinus HaKosel Bamsa is telling me that when you agree to have a wall built, you're agreeing to have it built in the middle. And now we turn back to the Gemara, citing that which we saw earlier, the third line from the top. That's why you see these little arrows to the side, where we said earlier, V'hezek Ria Lav Shmei Hezek. The way we explained the Mishnah was that the neighbors agreed to have a wall built. If they didn't agree to have the wall built, then one could not have insisted on the other to contribute. That led the Gemara to the conclusion that invasion of privacy is not considered, and we say invasion of privacy within the context of two people that use a courtyard jointly. So it would seem then, Hezek Ria is not considered Hezek. You see, in parentheses, the Gemara has a simen. Gino, Kaisel, Kaifun, V'cholken, Chalonis, D'Rav Nachman. We'll see a series of questions that are raised, most of them from Tanaic sources, that would have led one to conclude that Hezek Ria is Hezek. Toshma, V'chein, Begina. The Mishnah said that also with regard to a vegetable patch that's jointly held, a wall can be put up. Now, what are you putting up a wall for over there? Is it not in order to prevent or a hezek ria, to create a sense of privacy? And it's said in the Mishnah that a wall is put up in a gina. The Gemara says gina shiny. The presence of a wall in a gina is different. It's because the problem in a gina is more serious than a mere problem of privacy. Rabbi Abba, and like Rabbi Abba teaches, Yom Rabbi Abba, Amarav, Huna, Amarav, Asur L'Odom Lamoy B'Sod Chaveru B'Shal Shi'al Medes B'Koy Meseha. It's prohibited for a person to gaze upon, to stand in someone's field when the field is full with its grains. What we are afraid of here in the case of a gina is something that we call ayin hora, ayin ra'ah, Rashi says. Translated literally as the evil eye, where we don't want people to experience a sense of jealousy while looking upon someone else's fruitful vegetable patch. Therefore, when you have a gina that's jointly held, one can say, I want to have the wall built, and he can force the wall to be built because he wants to protect himself from a more serious form of damage, more serious than mere invasion of privacy, that being the damage caused by the evil eye, the ayin ra'ah. The Gemara asks, how can you say that gina shiny when the Mishnah says v'ha v'chein katani? V'chein meaning after being taught the approach to chatzer, to dividing a courtyard, it says, and likewise with regard to a gina. So that whatever we said with regard to a chatzer would seemingly apply to a gina as well. And if we concluded regarding the chatzer that Hezek Ria is not, whatever we conclude regarding the chatzer should apply to the gina as well. So that if you're telling me now that gina shiny, that doesn't fit in well with the expression of v'chein. The Rashi says v'ha v'chein kotani demashma travayu chataymahu gina v'chatzer. The word v'chein would seem to indicate that the way we look at one is the way we look at the other. The Gemara responds that there is a similarity, but that's regarding the building materials, agvil v'gozis. Those were two of the four building materials cited in the Mishnah. That when it comes to the material used for building the wall, then we say the whatever materials you would have used for a chotzer, you would use for a gina. Toshma, we go back to our series of questions regarding Hezekiah. Kaisel Chotzer Shenofal, a wall that stood between two neighbors in a courtyard and it fell down. Mechaivenois Livnois Ad Dalet Amos. One party can force the other to rebuild the wall till a height of 4 amos. The Gemara would says from here, so the fact that we're forcing the other party to rebuild, to participate in the rebuilding of the wall, that would indicate that Hezek Riyosh Shmei Hezek, contrary to what we concluded, third line from the top of the Gemara. Gemara says, Nofal Shaini. The case of a previous existing wall falling down, that's different. In other words, where there had been a wall already, in other words, they originally had agreed to put up the wall. And so they got used to enjoying a sense of privacy. When a wall like that falls down, so then we can insist on it being rebuilt. But to insist on a wall being built at the outset, on the grounds of Hezekiah, not so. The Gemara asks that, in fact, that is so obvious that it's different, that the case of the wall that was already there, that fell down, then we can force the other party to rebuild. The Korilah, my Korilah, what did the Makshin have in mind when he cited this source as a question? It's so obviously not a question. The Gemara says, Seifa itzdericha lei. To appreciate this response, we first glance in the Rashi. Seifa itzdericha lei, klomar. What was in the mind of the Makshan was, hu hadin nami meikora. That just like after it fell down, you can force the other party to rebuild. The thinking was that the same thing would have applied at the outset. V'hai dekotoni nofal, the fact that the Tanaic source that we read spoke about a wall having fallen down, not to the exclusion of a case where no wall had been there at the outset, but the teaching of nofal mishum seifa. It was taught because of the continuation of the source, which we haven't read yet, Lashminan, to tell us that if the wall that fell down was originally more than 4 amos, when we are talking about forcing the rebuilding of the wall, one party can't force the other to build it higher than 4 amos. That's why the source cited mentioned Nofal. Let's turn back to the Gemara. We mentioned Seifet Strichle, Midalit Alo Sulamalo, Ein Mechaiven Oso, where the original wall was more than 4 amos and it fell down. We do not obligate one does not obligate the other party to rebuild it beyond 4 amos. But just to emphasize the main point, and that is that. As far as an initial insistence on the building of a wall, that we do not conclude from over here. Toshma, Kaifenoisei Livnois Beishar Videlis Lechotzer. By all means, you should take advantage of the Pirush Chai, and you can see that here we're describing the at the entrance to a chotzer. Each member of the courtyard can be forced to build a Beis Shar. And Rashi explains the Beis Shar, Sheboinen Kaisel Neged Hashar, Ogul Saviv, a little round type of wall is built, a semicircle wall is built around the outside of the gate in leading into a Chotzer, the Oisnoise Hekif. And a little opening is made from the side, and again I hope that you're using the Book of Illustrations, and a little opening is put into this semicircle wall from the side, Mishum Hezek Rias Bene Rishus Rabbah Shliyutocha Chotzer, so that people that are walking by in the Rishus Rabbah in the public thoroughfare don't look into the Chotzer. So what did we see? What do we see from this? The Gemara says, Shema Mina. Should we not conclude from here that Hezek Riyo Shmei Hezek, that invasion of privacy is in fact a real source of damage, a real problem, contrary to what we said earlier? The Gemara says, Hezeka de Rabim Shaini. Encroachment of privacy on the part of the public, that is different. That is considered an encroachment of privacy beyond the acceptable comfort level that we can expect of people. But two neighbors that own a courtyard jointly, there we say that you can't, one cannot force the other to put up a wall on the grounds of Hezek Riyah. The Gemara asks, Udi Yachid Lo, and Hezek Riyah of an individual is not a consideration for privacy? Toshma, it says in the following source, Ein Chokin Es HaChotzer Ad Sheyeh Bo Dalet Amos Lozeh VeDalet Amos Lozeh. We do not divide a jointly owned courtyard until there are four amos for each party. Ha yesh ba kedei lozeh kedei lozeh chokin. However, if there are four amos for each one, in other words, you're dealing with a chatzer that is a total of eight amos, and we're giving a very superficial explanation. We're not getting into the details. The Gemara later deals with the how calculation is made, but for right now, if we can infer from here that if there is enough or significant enough section of courtyard for each one, we chok and divide. My lav bekoisel, is it not a division with a wall? So here we see a forced division in a private area between two neighbors with a wall. And is that not because of Hezek Riyah, that Hezek Riyah in fact is a consideration? Lo. The division spoken of here is not with a wall, the mesipas bi'alma, with low wooden slats. We explained mesipas earlier on the omit. So far, we don't see any evidence from the Tanaic sources cited that Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek. But we continue asking. Ta Shma. We have a Tanaic source. Once again, use the Pirush Chai, look into it, and you'll see here we have a description of a neighbor building a wall that is opposite his neighbor's house. And there must be a height discrepancy between the top of the wall and the windows of the neighbor's house. Hachalonos bein milamalo bein milamato uvein mikenegdon. The windows of the house with regard to the top of the wall, whether above the top of the wall, whether below the top of the wall, whether in a lateral distance, there must be four amos. The Tani Allah, and concerning that it was explained in a Tanaic source, Milamalon Kedei Shelo Yotzitz Vire. The top of the wall, if it's going to be above the window, it must be at least four amos above the window, so as to prevent the owner of the wall standing and bending over and looking into the neighbor's window. So if you have a height discrepancy of four amos, you won't have yotzitz vira. Milamaton, if the height of the wall is going to be below the neighbor's windows, then kedei it's shelo yamo vira. The height must be lower, four amos below the neighbor's window, so as to, if it were less than four amos below the window, the owner of the wall could stand on the wall, maybe on his tiptoes, and look into the neighbor's window. But if you have four amos, a height discrepancy, where the window is four amos above the top of the wall, that won't happen. And the kenegdon, a four amo lateral distancing, kadesha loyafil, so that he doesn't cause a reduction of the light entering the house. What do we see from here? We saw, and you can see how we've dashed underlined twice, shaloyatzitz vira, kadesha loyama vira. We want to prevent hezek riyah. Isn't that what we see from here? We want to prevent encroachment of privacy. So is it, that's a problem for what we said earlier. Gemara responds, Hezeka de Bayis Shiny. Here we're dealing with the encroachment of privacy regarding house matters. What one does with inside the privacy of one's home is more sensitive than an issue of privacy between two people owning a joint courtyard. And Rashi says very briefly, three lines from the bottom, Hezeka the Bayis Shiny, She'odom Oysa Beveso Devrei Hatznea, a person behaves in extreme, does things that are of a very private nature within one's house. So that is, in fact, an issue of privacy where we have to legislate these distances. But from this, to conclude that in general, Hezekria, even in a courtyard situation, is a problem that we cannot do. Toshma, here we have a question raised. Here we're not raising it from a Tanaic source, and you can therefore you can see there's no frame. Toshma, the Omer of Nachman, Omar Shmuel, Gag Hasomuch Luchotzer Chavero. Again, use the Pirush Chai Sefer to see what we're illustrating here. Here you have a terraced building construction, where the roof of a particular house happens to be next to the courtyard, the yard of the neighbor whose property is higher up on in the terrace construction. So you have a gag, a rooftop next to a chotzer. Oisin loy maike gavoa dal amos. A fence of 4 amos in height is built. Rashi says, "Kedei shelo yira b'chotzer chaveru kashu mashtamish begago," so as to prevent the person when using his rooftop from looking into the neighbor's yard. So, do you not see from this that hezek riyah shmei hezek? More answers. Shiny hosom. That case is different. The case of a rooftop next to a yard, there's a problem of hezek riyah, but not but. That is different than the case of two people, say, on equal footing, both courtyard owners. Why is that different? The owner of the yard can say to the owner of the roof, "L'didi kvi li tashmishi, l'iditcha lo kvi aloch tashmishtach." The yard is a place that is kavua, that's fixed, constant use of a yard. It's understood that a person is found on a regular ongoing basis in his yard. People are not found on an ongoing regular basis on rooftops. The lo yadana, the owner of the yard, can say to the owner of the roof, "I don't know." Behei idno sliko viosis. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Gimel Omed Aleph. Itstano minoch. I don't know when you're going to all of a sudden appear on your rooftop to know that I have to change my behavior into a more restricted fashion. It's not, I mean, literally mean to hide from you. So in a case like that, where there's this unequal footing, similar in a sense to the case of the bias and the chalonos that we mentioned, the bias and the chalonos and the wall that we mentioned before, that we're not dealing with people on an equal use basis, then the issue of encroachment of privacy is an issue. But not so in the case of two neighbors owning a courtyard jointly. So up to this point in the Gemara, the conclusion that had been reached at the third line from the top of Beis on the Beis, that Hezekiah lav shmei Hezek, in the case of two people owning a courtyard jointly, that position has been, we'll say, maintained in light of, or in the face of, the onslaught of questions that the Gemara raised. Now we continue. Lishno Achrino Amri Lo. Another version in the approach to the Mishnah. Savrua, the thinking is, my Mechitza. What does Mechitza mean that we saw in the Mishnah? Plukta means a division. Making a division, which is something that's not tangible. It's simply an agreement to divide. Dichtiv, and the term mechitza as a division or referencing parts of something It says in a verse, as we saw before, Vati Mechtzas HaEidah, part of the Eidah, of the community, of the camp. The Kevon Deratzu, once the two parties agree to make a division, Boininus HaKaisel Baal Korchon, then a wall is to be erected, even against the will of one of them. In other words, one wants a wall and the other doesn't. The wall can be built by force. Alma, what would we conclude then from here? Hezek, Riosh, Mei Hezek, the damage caused by encroachment upon privacy is a reality. The Ema Mai Mechitza Guda, very similar to the structure of the Gemara we saw earlier, and that's why you can see the markings, the inverted triangles, or the alternating direction triangles appear here, just like we saw before. Why not say that the term Mechitza means Guda, Hashifshin Shrotsu Lazus Mechitza of the Mishnah means Shifshin, partners in a courtyard that want to make a wall. Tisanya, and the use of the word mechitza as a reference to a physical wall, we see in the following, the same source we cited earlier, mechitza sakerem shenifritza, omer lo gador, nifritza omer lo gador, nisyan shemen velo gador, is a kidish v'chay b'chruyusa. So should we, could we not say that that is the approach of understanding the word mechitza means making a wall? V'taima derotsu, and using this approach that it means the making of a wall, that when does the wall appear? When they wanted to make the wall. Ha-lo rotsu. If they didn't both agree to making the wall, ein mechayv en oso, we wouldn't force a one party to against his will to contribute to the wall. So Alma, by the fact that we're not forcing the other one to contribute, Hezek Riga Lav Shmei Hezek, would we not conclude, contrary to what we said four lines from the top right over here, that Hezek Riga is not Hezek? The Gemara says, well, I hachi, if you're going to tell me that Mechitza means a wall, then the language of the Mishnah, Boinen es HaKeso, Boinen Oysoimi Boinen, the Mishnah should have said, once you mentioned make a wall, they agree to make a wall, then a pronoun would have been more appropriate, as we said earlier. And it doesn't say that, though. It's leading us to think that Mechitza really means making a division. Well, Elamai, so what are you saying? The Mishnah really means Pluto, to make a division. Yachi Shiratsu Lassos Mechitza Shiratsu Lassos Miboile. The more appropriate language would have been, they want to Lassos, they want to make a division. What does it mean? Lassos Mechitza. Lassos Mechitza indicates, would seem to indicate the making of a wall. The Gemara says that's not an objection. Kid Amrianshi, the Mishnah speaks the way people speak in common speech. How do people speak? Ta'navit Pluto, let's make a division. So that la'asos, this is an Aramaic equivalent of Shirotsu la'asos, ta'navit, let us make la'asos, na'avid, let us make Pluto, a division. Now, what did we conclude here, according to this version? We conclude the Hezek Rio Shmei Hezek. The E Hezek Rio Shmei Hezek, if encroachment upon privacy is a real source of damage, my irya rotsu, why does the Mishnah speak in terms of the agreement, afilu lo rotsu nami, even without agreement, the same halacha should apply, that once they agree to divide, even without agreeing, there should have been the insistence of making a wall. So if, once again, to repeat, if Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek, if encroachment upon privacy is a sense of real damage, why does the Mishnah speak in terms of the two parties agreeing? Even if there's no agreement, one wants privacy and the other doesn't, they have to put up a wall. Omar Rav Asiyam Rav Yochanan Mishnah Seinu Kishein Bodin Chaluka. Our Mishnah is speaking about a courtyard that happens to be very small. It's Ein bo din chaluka. We mentioned this earlier. If it lacks an area of 8 amos, one cannot force a division. V'hu derotsu. Oh, under circumstances like that, then you need to have a sense of agreement. Agreement to divide this very small area. Once you agree to divide the small area, then we say the wall can be put up by force, against even against the will of the other. My komash malon. The Gemara here raises a question. You can see we have a long question marking. What is the point here? B'she'ein bo din chaluka ki rotzu pligi. When you're dealing with a small chotzer, when there is agreement to divide, they divide. Tanina. That information is contained in another Mishnah, a Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, and it says there, Amosai bizman she'ein shneim rotzim, avo bizman she'shneim rotzim. When the two parties want to divide, afilu pochus mikan chokin, even if it's smaller than the minimum amount for division, they divide. So we see this point of agreement to divide a very small area already is taught in another Mishnah. What do I need two Mishnahs to tell me the same thing? E mehasam, had I had just the Mishnah over there, havamina, I would have thought the following. Afilu pochus mikan, when you're dealing with a courtyard that's less than 8 amas, the division that would be b'mesipas b'alma, with mere lowly slats. Komashman hocha, our Mishnah over here tells us, kaisel, that a wall is to be put up. And you guessed it, because of Hezek Re'iyah. So that our Mishnah is true. It's discussing a case of a Chotzer She'ein Bo Din Chaluka. And the point of teaching that when they agree to divide, they will divide it by putting up an actual wall. V'lisniha v'lo lisnihach. If that's the case, then why not just teach our Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek and not the Mishnah of Daf Yud Aleph? The Gemara says, Seifo it's derichole. The Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph is necessary because of information contained in the continuation of that Mishnah, where it says, the Kisvei HaKadosh, when you're dealing with holy writings, holy scrolls, when we speak about holy scrolls, imagine a Sefer Torah or a scroll containing the prophets. In a case like that, afal pi shneim roitzim lo yachloku. Even if both want to cut it apart, to imagine taking the Sefer Torah and cutting it down the middle, each one taking half of the Sefer Torah, even if they both want to do that, there we do not divide. So it was necessary for that Mishnah as a lead-in to that point to teach about other situations, like courtyard situations that are very small, if they both agree to divide, that can be divided in contrast with the Kisvei HaKadosh. You can see there's a printer's parentheses section that we will skip. That will take us to the lower part of the narrow lines. B'mai ukimto l'masnisin. So far, we've set up the Mishnah under what circumstances? B'she'ein bo adin chalku. You notice you have a little star to the side of the Gemara text that enables you to align this with the information we saw earlier, with the star you see above. How have we set up the Mishnah where it spoke about a shufin shirotsu lasos mechitza? The circumstances where you're dealing with a chotzer that was small, that was less than 8 amas. If that's the kind of chotzer that you're dealing with, ki rotsu mai have, if they agreed to divide it, so what? The way we learn the mission is once they agree to make a division, one can force the other to put up a wall. Dajrabu, why can't they simply back out? Good, I agreed at one point to divide. Now I decide not to. What's all this forcing talk doing over here? Om Rav Asi, Om Rav Yochanan, Shekanu mi yodan. The agreement to divide the small chotzer was accompanied by a kinyan gesture, by a kinyan chalipin. The Gemara asks, V'chikanu mi yodan mai have kinyan dvarim ba'amahu. If you're saying that the Mishnah was accompanied by a kinyan regarding what? A kinyan to make a division? That's a kinyan Kinyan Dvarim. Kinyan Dvarim we can explain as a kinyan concerning an abstract matter. When we speak about a kinyan chalipin, that applies to something that's tangible, something that's corporeal, physical. You divide something, you can divide it using insist on an irreversible division with the kinyan chalipin when you're dealing with something physical. But an agreement to divide, that's not something physical. Why then is the kinyan binding? The Gemara answers, the first answer of two answers, b'shekanu miyodon beruchos. Let's take advantage of Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines, beruchos, literally directions. Ze boro lo chelik mizrachi, ze boro lo chelik ma'arovi. The two partners that owned this small chotzer jointly, one chose the eastern half, the other chose the western half. Now you're dealing with something corporeal. The physical courtyard divided into halves, eastern half, western half, the konu miyada, and then a kinyan chalipin was made, umeata, and at that point, nikna chelik mizrachi lozeh, v'yem lezeh chelik both. The one who chose the eastern part is the exclusive owner of the eastern part, and the other one has no share in it. V'chena sheni l'chavera, and likewise the other partner with regard to his holding in the western part. Ravashi Omar Kigon Shaholach Ze Besoch Shelo Vihsik. Veze Besoch Shelo Vihsik. Ravashi explains the kinyan that Rabbi Yochanan made reference to Shekonu Miyodon. It's not a Konu Miyodon, a kinyan chalipin. I should say Ravashi is an alternative to Rabbi Yochanan's suggestion. Rabbi Yochanan made a suggestion that the kinyan was a kinyan chalipin. Ravashi says it was a kinyan chazoka, where each one walked on their respective chosen halves. And once a kinyan chazoka is made, that's the point that's the point of no return. And that's why once they agreed to make the division and then this kinyan was made, one party can force the other party to contribute in the construction of the wall. So at this point, we've covered the Gemara that we want to cover in anticipation of the study of the Tosfos. And now we turn to the Tosfos at the beginning of the Perek, the top of Daf Beis, Hashutfin. The point of this Tosfos is to deal with the issue of why was Masechtes Bava Basra appear after Masechtes Bava Metzia. This issue of order of Masechtes is an issue that's dealt with in a couple of other places in the Shas as well. So Tosfos at the top of that base, Hashufin, Kula Nezikin Chado Masechtehi. All three Bovas, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, are considered one long tractate. Kidamrinin Bagezel Kama Uva Perakama Davide Zora. This description of the three Bovis is one Masechta, and it's is a reference that you find in Bava Kama, and you find at the beginning of Avodah Zarah. Vafilu lo have chada Masechta, and even if they weren't one long Masechta, but rather the way we see it as three separate Masechtas, tzorach lefarish loma nishneis Masechta zu achar Bava Metzia. Still, there is need to explain why Bava Basra appears after Bava Metzia. Well, from the way that Tosfos introduces this issue, it would appear that it's of a more urgent nature to explain the order of things if these are all part of one tractate. But even if they're not part of one tractate, but three separate tractates, there still is a need to deal with order of things. You'll ask yourself why is there any difference whether it's one tractate or it's three? The difference between these two is something that will appear later in the Tosfos. At this point, you can see that we have a bracketed section. If you skip the bracketed section, you'll see how we get immediately to the answer. V'omeri dahainu taimo. And this is the reason that Bava Basra appears after Bava Metzia. the koi ahach pirka deliel. The Mishnah that we learned today, the beginning of Masichta, is a continuation of that which was found at the toward the end of Maseches Bava Metzia, where it spoke about habayis v'aliyah shel shnayim shenaflu chol kibetzim, etc. We'll get back to this in a moment. I simply skipped in order so that you should get a feeling of the flow of the Tosfos, where we present the question and immediately after the bracket section the answer. Now we turn to the bracketed section, where you see that the issue of order comes up in other places. Kida Ashkechon, we're continuing with the third line from the top at the end of the line. Kida Ashkechon, the Dayak Gemara Baresh Masech Shavuos. We find that the Gemara is Medayak at the beginning of Masech Shavuos, Michti Tona Mimakis Solik. The beginning of Shavuos is coming on the heels of Maseches Makis. Maishno de Katoni Shavuos. Why is Maseches Shavuos taught right after Maseches Makis? V'chein b'kama mekomos, and likewise in other places as well. Now, we have now what we sometimes term another bracketed section. We call this an internal brackets. Here we'll Tosfos deals with we'll call it another point. We alluded to this earlier. When do we speak about Ein Seder L'Mishnah? This is a concept you see elsewhere, and Tosfos here explains V'hod Yomar Betrei Masechtas Ein Seder L'Mishnah. We say when you're dealing with two tractates that the order. The order of the Mishnayos, the order of the teachings, is not a consideration, is not something to factor in your analysis. And yet, we are seeming to say that when we ask, why does Maseches Shavuos appear after Maseches Makis? Those are two separate tractates. And yet, you say that, as you can see in Bava Kamma, we say, Ein Seder L'Mishnah, that order is an irrelevancy. Hainu le'inyan machloikis v'achar kach stam. The concept of Ein Seder L'Mishnah has relevance to the realm of psak halacha, how you issue halachic rulings. One of the rules of issuing halacha, piske halacha, has to do with a case where you have in one Mishnah, a machlokes, a disagreement about a particular topic, and that's followed by another Mishnah where it's taught without any names. Stam means without any names, where one of those two opinions is featured, and in a case like that where one Mishnah precedes another, one Mishnah having a machlokis in it, followed by another Mishnah, a subsequent Mishnah that is taught in a stam fashion, well, when you're in one tractate, that becomes a binding factor. And you would rule like the stam Mishnah that follows the machlokis. However, if you have two separate tractates, in one tractate a Mishnah appears with a machlokes concerning a particular topic, and in the other tractate, the one position is taught without a name accompanying it in a stam fashion. If that phenomenon appears in two separate tractates, it's no longer binding. We don't say that the halacha will follow the stam in the subsequent tractate. Mishum de Rebbe lo shona le talmidov Keseder HaMasechtis. Rebbe, who edited the six orders of Mishnayos, he didn't teach them in a particular order. Upa'omim Shona Ha'achrona Kedem Harishona. And sometimes he would teach a latter tractate before what appears as an earlier tractate. So as far as the issue of machloikis v'achar kach stam as being a deciding factor in halacha, there we say Ein Seder LeMishnah. But as far as the general ordering of the Masechtas, outside the issue of Machlokes V'achar Kach Stam, there is significance. There is a, we'll say, there is logic to the ordering of the tractates when you're dealing with separate tractates. So within one tractate, order is very significant. And that's how Tosfos opened up. And we said, even when you're dealing with separate tractates, as Tosfos said at the second line from the top, v'afilu lo ha'vichara masechta, even if the bavas are not one masechta, where we just got finished describing that the order is of lesser significance, still, regarding the ordering of the tractates, there is room to ask the question, why does one follow the other? Now, after having said all of that, why does Bova Basra appear after Bova Metzia? V'omer Ri, the Ri answers, D'hainu taimo, this is the reason. Mishum dekoi ahach pirka d'liel, the beginning of our Masechta, this Perek HaShutvin, is coming on the heels of the last Perek of Bova Metzia. It's called, the name of the Perek is Habayis V'Aliyah. And it's said there, Habayis V'Aliyah Shel Shnayim, Shenoflu Cholkin Beitzim V'Chule. A house and an Aliyah. A house is a ground floor. Aliyah is a second story, sometimes referred to as an attic. But for our purposes, it really means a two-story house that was owned by two. It fell down. The building materials are divided between the two. That idea of a unit, a constructed unit, collapsing and then subsequent division of materials was discussed there, and that's the same topic. That's the same description that we see in our Mishnah. Hence, we have a very natural continuation of the discussion that we found at the end of Bava Metzia, leading us to the beginning of Bava Basra. The Kori Luhu Hasam Bagamora Shutfin, they are there, and in Maseches Bava Metzia, they are referred to by the use of the term Shutfin. The Kotoni Nami, and also you found taught at the end of Bava Metzia, Shtei Ginos Zu Al Gabi Zu, the Yerek Bentayim, two gardens. There you have a terraced garden situation. By all means, use the Pirush Chai to see this in a more tangible fashion. You have two gardens, one below and one above, in a terraced form. The Yerek Bentayim, and there's vegetation growing out from the side of the cliff. The Havi Inyan Shutfis, that too is a matter of joint. There's an element of Shutfis, of like our Mishnah begins with the word Hashutfin. There's an element of joint relationship between the two regarding that part of the ground that's in, we'll say, the vertical portion between the two gardens. Now, Tosfos Dibur Maso Kfisin. This, you can see in the Mishnah, a reference to one of the building materials. Meforish B'Gemara, the Gemara on Daf Gimel, the Gemara we haven't seen yet, explains that Kfisim are Archi. Archi are half bricks. Bricks refer to, we'll see, had a standard size, and Kfisin is a reference to a Chatzi Levena, half a brick. The Koshelari, the Hoksiv, the Ri raises a question from a posuk in the prophet Chavakuk, one of the Treasar, where the word Kfis appears, and it says there in the posuk, Ukfis me'etz yanena. And in the posuk together with the word Kfis, you see the word Eitz, meaning wood, mashma shu shel Eitz. The posuk would indicate that Kfis is wood, and not brick. The Omer Ri. The Ri offers an explanation. It's noteworthy that the Re raised the question, and he also offers an explanation. The Shema Hoyu Manichim Eitzim Milamala Umilamata. With regard to the Pasuk, it appears that they that Kfis really was a brick, and the reference to wood is that that wood was found above and below. So you can imagine a construction. And by the way, once again, take a look in the Pirush Chai for an illustration of this. But for our purposes, we can speak in terms of a, we'll call it a sandwich form of construction, where on the on one side and the other side of the kfis of the brick, there was wood. In my opinion, this explanation is quite accurate in terms of the wording of the pasuk itself. Grammatically, it says kfis me'etz, from the wood. The kfis, meaning brick, from within the wood, ya'anena, will speak forth, will answer forth. So the Tosus is pointing out that even though the word eitz appears juxtaposed with the word kfis in the pasuk, that does not detract one bit from explaining kfis as archi, half a brick. Now, Tosus Dibur HaMaschil Begvil. Once again, this was one of the building materials mentioned in the Mishnah, and it said Begvil ze noisein gimel tvachim, and veze noisein gimel tvachim. Each partner contributes three tvachim. The ha delo koomar Begvil vav tvachim. Why that which the Mishnah didn't simply say that when it comes to gvil, the thickness of the wall is six tfachim, or the gvil nosnim vav tfachim, mishum deloniti lememar, so that we shouldn't make a mistake into thinking vav lechol echon, that each one contributes six tfachim of property toward the wall. Therefore, by saying it's very clear that each one is contributing three tvachim, and we can do the arithmetic, and of course three plus three adds up to six. But had it taught the begvil vav tvachim, one might have made the mistake into thinking that the six tvachim is a reference to each one contributing, which is not the case. You might ask, why is there any need to teach dimensions to begin with regarding gvil and gozis and the other materials? It was taught in the Mishnah called Kaminig HaMedina. Whatever the practice of the Medina of the area was, that's what they do. You follow the practice. Whatever the practice is what dictates, not formal numbers. V'yesh lomar, we answer, Te'im nohagu yoiser mivav begvil lo yase. If in using gvil material they happen to have a practice of using for a total thickness of more than six tvachim, that you cannot force the other party to contribute towards. V'chein kulam, and the same with regard to the other materials. In other words, the numbers that are given in the Mishnah are maximum numbers. Elo kashir hamafurosh. Rather, not more than the numbers, but rather the dimensions as stated in the Mishnah. What about the issue of the minig? Umihu im noagu lasas pochos mivov yaseh. If, however, in using the gvil material, the minig, in that locale, they would make a gvil walls using less than six tfachim of thickness, then you would do that. Dafilu im noagu buhutze bedafna yasek in meforsh begemara. Even if the practice of that locale was making walls of using hutze bedafna, using branches, that's the kind of wall that you would make, a branch wall. Bim tomar umai boy begemara hakol kamina gamedina lasuye mai. You might ask, well, what's the meaning of the Gemara when it says, when the Gemara asks, what does Hakol Kamin Hagamedina come to include? Umeshani, and it comes to include, and the Gemara answers to that question, what does Hakol Kamin Hagamedina that you saw in the Mishnah, what does that come to include? The Gemara answered, will answer, Lasuye Asro Denehigi Behutza Vedafna. It comes to include locations that walls were made by using branch material. Why all of that? Lema, why not say that the expression in the Mishnah of Hakol Kaminag HaMedina, in light of what we have said so far, Vasuye Kaminag Kol HaMakomos Kemo Shenoagu, to include all places to do whatever their custom is. And that Hakol Kaminag HaMedina would come to include all different practices. And by saying all different practices, that would include Hutza V'dafna. It would include Hutza V'dafna. It would include the building material cited in the Mishnah if they were less than the dimensions stated in the Mishnah. V'nira l'Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam explains why, when in answering the question of what does Hakol Kaminag HaMedina accomplish, and the Gemara answers it accomplishes to include places that use branches, the dafka behutza v'dafna. There's a certain, we'll say, a limitation on the minimum level as well. In other words, if the minig is to make a wall made of branches, not the straw, not the most solid kind of wall, a branch wall, that's as far as we will go. Avopochos mikan, but less than that. Afilo noagu, even if it's their practice to make walls of an extremely flimsy nature, minig hedyodhu. It's a foolish minig. Umochiach, the minig hedyot means you would not follow that. Umochiach. Mikan, and I would like to add, as a result of that, therefore the suggestion we made before falls off. We suggested before, why don't we just say that Hakol Kaminag HaMedina, why does it just come to include all places, like whatever their minig is? By saying that, one could have said, well, whatever their minig is, even if it's an extremely flimsy type wall. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that far we're not going to go. And that's why when the Mishnah, when the Gemara answers, what does Hakol Kaminag HaMedina come to include? It comes to include even a branch type wall, but not less than that. Umochiach mikan, and Rabbeinu Tam proves from here, diyesh minhogim shelo lismoch aleihem. There are practices that one should not rely upon them. Afilu hecho desnan, even where you see such an authoritative type expression like Hakol Kaminag HaMedina, everything is in accordance with the local practice. Well, as we just saw, there is a limitation to that, that there are certain kind of minhagim that we would classify as a minig hedyot, a foolish minig, and that kind of practice would not be binding. Tosfos dibur hamaschil lefikoch. Im lefikoch im nofal hakoisel. We saw in the Mishnah it said hamokum vavonim shel shnehem. In the event that the wall falls down, so the spot occupied by the wall and the materials, the stones, are divided between the two partners. Pirush, the conclusion of the Mishnah that the materials are split between them, lefi shebonim hakoisel bal korcham, since the wall was built against the will of one of the parties, literally against their will, but it means that when one prevailed upon the other to divide, so the wall was built against the other party's will, therefore the division takes place. The stones and the spot are divided. Now, you'll notice that we have a line in brackets. The reason for these brackets is not really for skipping purposes, but it's simply to point out that the main point has been reached over here, namely the reason for the dividing. After the brackets, the Tosfos will ask on this explanation of division because it was built against their will, that will be after the brackets. So now within the brackets, we pointed out that the wall is built Baal Korcham, Oy Mishum de Hiknu Zelo Zelasos Gudo Lelishna Kama, either because of that which we saw in the Gemara, that they made a kinyan between them, a kinyan to build the wall. According to the first version, we had two Lishonos in the Gemara. Ukagon diodu alanu adayin vezochrim shehiknu ze lozeh, making the assumption that we remember that they made that kinyan. Ulalishna basra, according to the second version that we saw in the Gemara, mishum hezekriya, as the Gemara had concluded in the second Lashon at the top of Daf Gimel Omid Aleph, that Hezek Ria, Shmei Hezek, that invasion of privacy is considered a reality, a source of damage. And that's the reason that they had to build the wall, Baal Korcham. V'im Tomar, you might ask, Umay Irya Mishum Deboinim HaKoysel Baal Korcham. Why is it that you insist that the reason for the division is the building of the wall was against their will? Belav hachi nami havi shel shneim. Even without that consideration, the division of the materials would have taken place. Afilu nofal lirishus of the chad minayo. Even if all of the materials had fallen in one direction, namely into the domain of one of the two parties, and not scattered between the two. Since there is no sign of ownership for one or the other, there's no sign that it belonged to one of them, so we would have divided anyway, even without the Baal Korcham consideration. Now, you'll notice we have a long bracketed section. We've introduced the basic question, and that is, why is the emphasis on the Baal Korcham factor for reason for division, why is that the reason that's given, and not simply the fact that there was no sign of ownership on the wall indicating that it belonged to one or the other. Therefore, we would have understood that it belongs to both. Now, you'll notice, as we said, we have a long question marking. If you skip the entire bracketed section, the circular type brackets, you come down about 8-9 lines later. Umetaretz ri, the ri answers the hainu hach deparach begemora. This issue is also that which the Gemara raises on Daf Dalet Omid Aleph, where it says Pshita, where of course the materials are divided between them. Kid appears Bekuntris, as Rashi there explains in Dibur Maschal Pshita, Dafilu lo posik lon dino de masnisen shemitchila bein shneim asu Baal Korcham. Even if the Mishnah had not spelled out that at the beginning they both had contributed to the building of it against their will, even without that information, without the Mishnah teaching us that point, hayu cholkin b'shaveh ve'afilu denofal l'rishuso dechad minayu. They would have divided the materials anyway, even if it all would have fallen into one of their domains, one domain, as opposed, meaning exclusively into one part. Kidemuchu gabi bika, as the Gemara shows in the case of Bika, namely, that if there is no chazis, not for this one nor the other one, we would have divided between them. Umeshani, and we answer, Lo Tzricha. The teaching of the division based on it being built Baal Korchan is needed for the following. The Nofal L'Rishus of the Chad Binayu, it fell into only one's one domain. Pirush, and here's the main point. Fishahu Pirushusoi Harbe. And the stones remained in only one of their domain for a long time. So you have a situation where the wall fell down, all of the materials fell, all of the stones fell into only one of theirs possession. Ma, and it stayed there, sat there for a long time. Mahu detema, without, I would have thought, without being taught that the building was Baal Korcham, I would have thought, Kevon Deshob Birshusu Harbe, since the materials stayed there for a long time, Nehemne Shasua Kula. Let us believe that that individual into whose domain the materials are have been sitting, believe him that he built the wall by himself, that he's the only one that built it. It's exclusively his. Migu, the boy Omar, since he could have said, though we built it together, I bought it from you. I bought the materials from you. And I would have thought that he would have been believed and after the fact that they have been sitting there for a long time. So now, again, we have a bracketed section, three lines. Let's skip it to keep the logical flow going. Komash Malon, we teach, we are telling you, Kevon de Meikora, al Shneim Hoyolasos, since at the outset, it's a wall that they had to build Baal Korcham, as opposed to the case of the Bika. Our wall, the wall between the, in the Chotzer, is a wall they would have had to, they had to build. Both of them had to build at the outset. Lo mehemon lo mashu hu also hakol. He wouldn't have been believed with his claim that he made, that he built it by himself. Ah, we said that he had a claim of a migu. Believe him when he says that, because he could have said, "I bought it from you." Not so over here. The migu b'mokum edim hu. This is a case of a migu type taina, in a situation that it's countered by the equivalent of witnesses. There's, in general, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this concept of an attempted claim that's amigu, but it's against, it would have been in effect against witnesses, or a claim as solid as witnesses. And here, witnesses aren't a function of two actual witnesses, but rather, the anan sadi, we, the public bear witness, Shelo Asa'o Levado. He would not have made it, the wall, by himself. Kevon Shehoya Yochol Lidchok Es Chaviru B'din Shehoya Oysa Imoy. Since you're talking about a guy that could have forced the neighbor to participate in the building of the wall. No one's going to do something by himself if he could have had someone contribute to it. And we said this approach is in contrast to the case of the Bika. Avol beBika im Shoh Harbe Hoyonem on Lomar Shasu Bemigo the Iboy Omar Lukachtiha. In the case of a Bika where there wasn't an obligation at the outset to build the wall, if you had a wall that fell down without a chazis on either side, and one of the neighbors would have said, I made the wall by myself, he would have been believed, because he could have said, I bought it from you. And that is not a case of migu b'mokum edim. Why not? Because you're not dealing with the situation where the one guy could have forced the other to participate in the building. V'hai shinuya eino elo me'avonim. This analysis, this answer, is with regard to the stones. As far as the spot occupied by the stones, by the wall originally, that's obvious that you'll divide that. Now, we skipped a great deal of the Tosafot, but we tried to keep a logical flow going. Namely, we presented the question, why is the Baal Korcham, the building of the wall Baal Korcham, such a significant element in explaining why the division takes place? So Tosafot answered, because we're talking about a circumstance where all of the stones fell into the portion of only one of them, and I might have thought that he could have claimed, I have the main thing that Tosafot added here, is that the stones were in that only the individual's section for a long time.
maybe he could have claimed that built the wall exclusively, because he could have said, I bought it from you. And with that migu, maybe he would have been believed when he says that I built it exclusively. And we answered, that is not so. Since the wall had to have been built at the outset, that's the Baal Korchum factor, since it had to have been built at the outset, the attempt to claim, believe me when I say, I built it by myself, that's the equivalent of migu b'mokom edim. And such a claim is has no force, has no power to it. Now let's go back over the Tosfos, this time including all of the bracketed sections. We're going to pick up from the second of the widest lines, in the middle of the line, where you see the Im Tomar highlighted. The Im Tomar Umay Irya, why is the explanation of division based on Mishum Debonin HaKosel Baal Korcham? Belav Hachinami Havi Shoshnem, even without that analysis of building against their will, the materials would have been divided. Afilu Nafalu Shusa Dechavinayu, even if all the materials had fallen into one portion, into only one of their portions. Kevon Shtein Chosis Lo Lozev Lo Lozev, since you have a situation of the wall that fell had no sign on it, not for this one nor for that one. You don't have a sign on this wall at all. So the absence of the total absence of a chazis indicates that it belongs to both of them. Now you'll notice we have an internal bracketed section. If you skip that initially, it leads to a we're led to a potential question that the Gemara will reject. But in the meantime, we continue reading straight through. Kideporach b'Gemara, Kideporach b'Gemara, Gabi Bika. This idea of a wall lacking a chosis, lo lozeh v'lo lozeh, is discussed in the Gemara Daf Dalet Amud Beis in the context of a bika, grain field, an area of grain fields. If they made a wall by joint agreement, the Gemara there said, "Oh, both made the wall." And the rule is, if both made the wall in the case of a bika, so a chosis is made on both sides of the wall. So there, the Gemara asks, "Lo yase chosis, lo lozeh, v'lo lozeh." Let neither one make a chosis. The have the heich. The nofal lirushuso my porach. If the wall had fallen in the case of the bika into only one of their domains, how could that suggestion have been made of lo yase chosis lo lozeh v'lo lozeh hot sorich lasos chosis? They certainly would have had to make a chosis. Shelo yipol lirushus echad v'yomar shelo hein, so that you can see from that discussion that since there is no chosis for either one, that is a sure sign that it in fact belongs to both of them. So from the fact that in the case of the bika, a suggestion could be made of lo yase chosis lo lozeh v'lo lozeh, in a case that they had built the wall together, that shows us that would not have created an endangerment or a circumstance where one could have claimed it's entirely his. Not so. When there's no chosis for this one nor that one, that's itself indicative of them both having made it. So that strengthens the suggestion of the Gemara. Why do you have to come onto the Baal Korcham explanation for the basis of division between the two of them? By virtue of the fact that the wall that fell down had no chosis, we know that we would divide between the two of them. V'ha diamrinon b'hashoyel gabi machlif poro b'chamor. The Gemara in Perek HaShoyel and Bofa Metzia And also in Perek Baisala deals with situations where a suffek, where a doubt arises. And in order to resolve the doubt, the Gemara suggests, Velechsi Birshus Daman Kaima, why not determine ownership in the case of doubt by looking at in whose possession, in whose domain is the item found? Valeve Ido Hamoitsi Mechaveroi Olov Haraya. And then let the other one be a claimer of this nature. There's a rule, I'm sure all of you know. Hamotzi mechaver, when you're trying to extract something from someone's possession, you, the extractor, bear the burden of proof. So that we see that falling into a particular, or being found in a particular domain, is a basis for claiming ownership. And that would raise a problem then for us, because we're saying that even if the wall materials, even if all the stones are found in Rishus of the Chad Minayu, that would not have prevented us from dividing between the two. And yet you see from these Gemaras in Bava Metzia that being found in one particular domain does prevent automatic division, rather, and it actually strengthens the claim of the one in whose domain the item is found. So why there in Bava Metzia do we say that Lechsi Birshus Deman Kaima is a factor in claiming ownership? Hainu Mishum the Hasam, there in those cases in Bava Metzia, Mitchila Mevur Hayadavar, at the outset, it was clear who the owner was. Ubershus echad mehem nolad hasafek, and the arising of the doubt took place in one and only one of their domain. Aval hocha, but in our case, meikora nolad hasafek. At the outset, there was already an element of doubt. V'im hoyu boyin lachlok ba'oyd shalkeisel kayam. And if even when the wall was still standing, they would have come to divide it, we would have divided it because of our doubt. Maybe both built it. And this idea of we would have divided it works afilu l'rabbonon desumchis the less lehu moment amuta besofik chokin, even according to the opinion, the Tanaic opinion of the Rabbanon, who disagree with Sumchis, who do not hold from the approach that Sumchis takes in resolving doubts, that namely moment amuta besofik, when you have an issue of money matters, ownership, you automatically divide it. When you have a doubt concerning money, you divide. Hocha modu, here in our case with the wall, those Rabbonon who disagree with Sumchis would agree to the idea of division. Kevon deleka hocha chazoka lozeh yoser milozeh, since no one has a stronger claim than the other. That is in contrast to the cases we mentioned before, where at the outset it was clear that one had a claim over the other. Hilkoch afilu nofal rishusa dechad minayu. Therefore, with regard to the wall, even if all the materials fall into the domain of one, lo yafsinu achir koichoi, the other neighbor doesn't lose any strength in his claim. So far, we're pointing out that we would have automatically understood that there is a division of the stones, and we contrasted our case of the wall with the cases that were cited from Bava Metzia, namely that in the case of those Safe cases, which we didn't elaborate on, but the Safe cases that arose in Bava Metzia, those were cases where the Safe developed arose only later on. As opposed to our case of a wall built between two neighbors, already at the outset there is a possibility that the wall belongs to both. And now the Gemara continues with dismissing another issue that you may have risen. That which we do not say over here, kol da'olim govar, kamo beze oimer shel avosai. in the Gemara later, Daf Lamed Daled, where you have two parties competing over ownership, each one claiming that this belonged to my father, and the other one says it belonged to my father. There, the Gemara says, well, whoever is stronger wins. Called the Olim Gemara, who has greater strength, greater force, he will win out. We don't say that over here. Hasam who there Deleka Droro de Mamona. There you don't have what's called a Droro de Mamona, namely it's a suffix that arises only because of their claims. Ha'aval hacha ika Droro de Mamona. But here we have a suffix that arises even without their claims. So, in a case where there is a drora de mamona, namely a suffix arises only because of the two competing parties raising a claim, so then we would say kol da'olim govar. But in a case where there is a suffix, where there is a doubt, even without their particular claims, objectively speaking, there is a suffix, there is a doubt as far as the ownership of the wall might very well have been. Both of them, there we don't say there in a case like ours where there's a drora de mamona. Once again, I'm repeating, a suffix that arises even without their claim. We will say divide and not say kol da'olim govar. So after all is said and done, why is there a need to explain that the division of the stones in the fallen wall is because the wall was built Baal Korcham, simply by virtue of the fact that the wall that fell doesn't have a chazis at all? Even if all the materials fell onto one side, we still would have divided in light of everything that we've just said. Umetaretz Ri, the Ri answers, Dehainu, the issue that we're raising now, wouldn't you have divided anyway? This is the same thing that was raised as an issue on Daf Dalet Omen Aleph, 15 lines from the end, Pshita, where the Gemara asked, is it not obvious? It appears Bekuntris, as Rashi there explains in Dibra Maschil Pshita, Tafilu Lotik Londino de Masnisen Shemitchila Ben Shnei Masua Baal Korchan. Even had the Mishnah not taught that at the outset the wall was built against their will, the wall was built by both of them, Baal Korchan, how are you Chokin Bishove? We would have divided the materials equally. Even if all of the stones had fallen into one side, we would have divided as was proven in the case of the Bika, which we alluded to. We alluded to that earlier. You might see there are little arrows to the side of the Tesvis, and we made mention of that earlier. Umeshani, and the Gemara answers, Lo, Tzricho, the Gemara there on Daf Dalet answers, the case, the reason we need to teach the building was Baal Korcham as the basis of division. The Nofal Rishusa Dechad Minayu, Pirush, it fell onto one side, Visho Birshusa Harbe, and the stones lay there for a long time. Mahu detema keva de show bishusu harbe. Since the stones were lying there for a long time, nehemne, let us believe him shasua kula, that he built the wall by himself. Migu de boy Omar, since he could have said mimchar lekachtiya v'hayanemon mishum de show harbe. Well, if he would have claimed that I bought it from you, well, this is all what we would have thought that he would be believed. After all, the stones lay there for a long time. Even though at the beginning of the last parak of Bava Metzia, the Gemara says that partners don't express hakpoda one against the other. Hacha Mairi, in our case, we're talking to show Yoyser Michtei Regilus, that the stones were lying for a long time, much longer than is normally the case even when you're dealing with partners. Would you think that just because they're partners, they wouldn't be makbid forever? So once you introduce the idea that the stones were lying there for a long time, that leads one to think that he's the actual owner of it. Velo domi legodros dienlem chazoka. The case of the stones that are found in only one of theirs possession is not like the halacha regarding godros. Those are sheep and goats. That we say that if sheep and goats are found in one particular's domain, that doesn't indicate he's the owner of it. Lefi she'ein yodua biyad mihem. Aval hocha lo hoyolo lahashoso kol kach birshuso. In the case of goats and sheep, they have a tendency to wander. So we don't know who's the real owner of it simply by looking at in whose domain they are found. But in the case of the stones that were lying in one domain, in only one of their domain for a long time, if the other fellow had any ownership in them, he wouldn't have left them there so long in the other guy's put domain. So all of this is what I would have thought. Ah, komash molon, what is being revealed to us by saying that the wall had been built at the outset, Baal Korchem, reveals to me, kevon demeikora al shneim hoyolasos, since at the outset it was a wall that had to have been built by both of them. Lo mehemon lomar shuasako, the one that would have claimed I made the wall by myself, he would not be believed. That's the equivalent of a migu claim, where one tries to strengthen his claim. Like we said before, believe me when I say I built it by myself, because I could have said I bought it from you. But that initial point, believe me when I say I built it by myself, that itself is a migu b'mokomedimhu. The anan sadi, we bear witness, we the public bear witness, you would never have built it by yourself. Shelo asal avado, you would never built it by yourself. Kivan shahaya yochol lidchik es chaveru bedin shahaya oise imoi. You could have, at the outset, forced the other guy to participate in the building of it. And that's where the Baal Korchem factor comes in. And since at the outset you could have forced the other guy to participate in the building, we're not going to listen. We're not going to believe a guy when he says, "Believe me when I say I built it by myself." Avol. In the case of the grain fields, and a wall had fallen down between two grain fields, and all the stones are lying in one on one side, and they've been lying there for a long time, he would have been believed if there was no chosis, it was a signless wall. That guy in whose domain all the stones are lying would have been believed to say shasa that I built it by myself. The migu di boyomar lekachti, with the claim that believe me when I say I built it by myself, because I could have said I bought it from you. And in the case of the bika, it's not called a migu b'malkam eden, because it's not because a bika is a place where there was no initial forcing of the building of the wall. This answer for the division based on the building Baal Korchem is needed with regard to the division of the stones. As far as the spot occupied by the wall originally, that's obvious that that's to be divided between the two neighbors, the two partners. And since on the eighth line of the Mishnah, the division of the stones was mentioned, so it mentioned also the word mokum, the space, even though that is really was obvious from the outset. Tosfos Dibur HaMasvil Savruha. This word Savruha appears elsewhere in the Shas. In general, it implies that an idea that is being presented now will not hold up till the end of the discussion. An exception to that is right over here in Bava Basra. There's another exception in Maseches Nedarim as well. Now, coming off of that theme, Tosfos says, Savrua mai mechitza guda. Afagav de lebesof koi ko'omar Savrua. even though at the end of this discussion, at the end of the presentation of the first Lashon, we see that the suggestion that Mechitza means Guda stands, it lasts. That's what he means when he says Lebesov Koi. The end of the discussion, this suggestion remains. Nevertheless, Ko'omar Savrua, the Gemara used the word Savrua, which we indicated in our introductory remarks, is something that is an idea that won't last, that's ultimately rejected. Why then was the word Savrua used over here? Lefi Shezeh Haloshon Eino Iker, Machmas Pircha de Lekamon. It's because that this Loshon, this version, is not the main version, as will be, we'll say, rejected later on. V'dichui bi'alma hu haide mishani. And whatever answer is given, the answer that was given later in the Gemara, is we call an answer that's just a push-off kind of answer, not a solid answer. U'kaloshon sheni halacha, v'chein posek Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara, however, rules like the halacha follows the second version, where we said that mechitza meant plukta, and once they decide to divide, then a wall must be built, and we explained that was based on Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek, and that's how Rabbeinu Tam rules as well. The Agav Denokat Bahai Lishna Savrua, and since in presenting the first version, the word Savrua was used, Nokat Nami Belishna Achriti, in the second version, we had Roman numeral number 2, the word Savrua appeared, even though in that case it is it's the final Lashon, or it's the Lashon that's truly accepted. And as we said, the word Savrua usually reflects upon something that doesn't last. V'od omri, t'beperek kamo dinedorim iko Savrua, afagav d'lebesov koi, umasikochi. And we mentioned this before as well. The use of the word Savrua in the context of an idea that lasts till the very end appears in Maseches Nedarim as well. Tosfos Dibur Maschil Kidesanya. Kidesanya Mechitzas HaKerem Shenifritza. In our Gemara, we saw a Tanaic source introducing a topic of kilayim in order to illustrate the word mechitza as a wall. Yesh svarim de garsinon disnan. As opposed to the version we have, namely kidesanya, the word kidesanya indicates a braisa. The word tnan, disnan, would have indicated a mishnah. So Tosus remarks that there are versions of Gemara texts that use the word disnan indicate it's a mishnah instead of a brisa. V'yomer Rabbeinu Tam she'eino mishnah b'shum mokim. This source of mechitzas hakerem shenifritza is not a mishnah in any place. In other words, in all of Shas you will not find a mishnah saying that mechitzas hakerem shenifritza, etc., as we have in our text. Rather, it's a brisa. V'im tomar, and if you'll ask, heichi poshet minov agoizel kamo de Rebbe Meir doyen dina de garmi. If this is merely a brisa, how is it that in the Gemara in Maseches Bava Kama, from this, we'll call this nameless Tanaic source, the Gemara concludes that it is the opinion of Rebbe Meir, who rules culpability in the cases of damage caused through the garmi type form. Garmi damage is similar to the word groma, causative forms of damage. If they have the garmi characteristics, there's an elaboration on this topic you can see if you look in the Rosh commentary in Bava Kama Perek Tes, Simen Yud Gimel. We're not going to get into that right now, but what we want to emphasize simply is the fact that the Gemara Bava Kama uses this source, the nameless Tanaic source, to prove that Rebbe Meir is the opinion that holds we will hold guilty of reparations in the case of garmi type damages. case of the kerem, the vineyard, creating kilayim, passeling the grains, being an example of garmi. How can the Gemara prove from this source that is Rabbi Meir's opinion? V'im hoy sa mishna, if it was in fact an actual mishnah, havi osi shapir, then that method of reasoning would have worked out well. The stam mishnah Rabbi Meir, we have a Talmudic rule that unnamed mishnayos are the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So if this example of mechitzas kerem shenifritza would have been an actual mishnah source, then it would be quite reasonable for the Gemara Bava Kama to conclude that Rabbi Meir is the opinion, because stam mishnayos, unnamed mishnayos, are assumed to be Rabbi Meir. And yet, with regard to Rabbeinu Tam, how then are we to understand the Gemara in Bava Kama that uses this source as a basis for concluding Rabbi Meir holding we dan dina de garmi? V'yomer Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam himself explains the mashmale the asya k'Rabbi Meir. The Gemara in Bava Kama assumes that this Tanaic source of the mechitzas hakerem shenifritza works out according to Rabbi Meir. Mikayach masnisin de kilayim de maisi hasam, by virtue of an actual mishnah from Maseches Kilayim that the Gemara over there in Bava Kama actually cites, which says Hamasachich is Gefanoi al Gabit Wasso Shechavero Hareze Kidesh V'Chayov Bachriuso. Now notice we emphasize the word Kidesh. That word Kidesh we actually saw in this Bryce, that very top line of that Beis Omid Beis. It said in the Siyah Shemana Vilogodrav is a Kidesh. So the word Kidesh is a key word, and that word, the word Kidesh means it ruins, it puzzles, it causes Kilayim. That word appears in actual Mishnah from Maseches Kilayim, and it's based on, and that is a Stam Mishnah. That's a real Stam Mishnah. That's Rabbi Meir he. As we just said, it's an unnamed Mishnah. Vahi Stam Mishnah, Hilkochahi Nami, the Katoni Kidesh Rabbi Meir he. Therefore, the Brisa here as well, which is cited there in Bava Kama, the same Brisa cited in Bava Kama, is also authored by Rabbi Meir. And we see that the Brisa, which says Kidesh, holds the Balakarim to be guilty of making compensation. So that shows us that Rabbi Meir is the one that says, we dan dina de garmi. That kind of damage being causative type damage, and yet there is culpability. The ein laharich kan yoser, Tosu says that we're not going to elaborate on this matter anymore. So just to review the main point as far as this Tosus is concerned, even though the proper girsa here is this kidesanya, that does not prevent the Gemara in Bava Kama from concluding from this source that Rabbi Meir is the opinion that holds we dan dina de garmi. And that is based on the fact that there is an actual Stam Mishnah that uses the word Kidesh in the context of Kili HaKerem, and that's a real Stam Mishnah, and where we know that's Rabbi Meir, so too this must be Rabbi Meir as well. Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Oimer Lo Gedor. In the Gemara we saw the Brisa dealing with the wall between a kerem and the tevua falling down. The owner of the grain field says to the owner of the vineyard. So Omer Lo Gedor Pirush Libal HaKerem. The one who is addressed, you build the wall, is the owner of the vineyard. To whom Hamazik? He is considered the damager. And now, why is it you have the vines and on one side, grains on the other? A wall had separated them. Besides the wall, there is no say, lateral distancing between them. The owners in this case were relying on the presence of the wall. In general, if you have a vineyard and you want to plant grains in that vicinity, you have to allow for a lateral distancing of 4 amos. And those 4 amos, in the absence of a wall, are for what's called kedei avodas hakerem. That means vineyard is cultivated, is tilled by drawing a plow around the vines, and a plow with the oxen that draw it have an assumed width of approximately 4 amos. So you need to leave a distance of 4 amos for the benefit of the vines. Now, in our case, a wall had separated the vines from the grains, and now that wall has fallen down, and right now there's no lateral distance between them. And that's what Tosis goes on to explain. To who hamazik, the Baal HaKerem is considered the mazik. The arba amos shomru laharchik, the 4 amos in general that are needed to separate between a vineyard and a grain field. Who b'shvil avodas hakerem? Those 4 amos are for the benefit of the vineyard. Kinamrina beperek sheni delakamon, as the Gemara in the second parak of this Masechta says, Ve'afilu Reb Yosi, to Kamala Kamon, and even according to Reb Yosi that says, Al Hanizak Laharchik Es Atzmo, if you have one party is threatened by another, the potential victim is the one that has to care for himself, has to distance himself. And in this case, the grain owner is perceived as the potential victim. Nevertheless, even according to Rabbi Yossi, that obligates the nizak, the victim, to distance himself. Om Ravashi lekamon. Ravashi says later on, Moidi Rabbi Yossi begiri delay. Rabbi Yossi will concede that under the circumstances of giri delay, direct damage. Giri literally means one shooting arrows. If you have someone that is shooting arrows, for example, we don't say that the obligation is upon the potential victim to protect himself. The obligation is upon the guy shooting arrows to take care not to damage anybody. So, and likewise, in the case of the vineyard now, without the wall, the vineyard is like a case of direct damage, it causing the damage, the kilayim damage to the grains. Therefore, even according to Reb Yossi, it's the obligation of the vine owner, the vineyard owner, to build the wall. V'omeri delahachi katani oimer lo gedor. The Ri explains that the Brisa said that the grain owner says to the vine owner, build up the wall. V'lo katani, it doesn't use the expression chayav ligdor. What's the significance of saying Omer lo? He has to tell him build the wall, and not simply stating in an objective fashion there is an obligation to build the wall. Lefi shetzorich lahasros bo, the omer lo gedor, he tells him build up the wall, is part of the necessity of having a warning, a stated warning. V'im lo hisru bo ligdor, and in the absence of a warning, if he wouldn't have told him build up the wall, Eino Chayov Bachriuso, the owner of the vines would not have borne responsibility. So that without the warning, the vine, the vineyard owner is not obligated to compensate. Ulahachi Noket Nami Trezimni Nifritza Omer Lo Gedor Af Pam Shnia Kishin Nifritza Tzorach lahasroso. The Brisa was very deliberate in the way it presented the story. It wasn't just telling us a story in a literary fashion, but rather halacha was being reflected in the way the story was reported. We saw that the wall had fallen down, Omer lo gedor. The wall fell down a second time, and again a second warning came forth. You need to have that second warning. she'eno savor lios chayav lidor kol shah, because otherwise he, the owner of the vines, would not have thought that he is constantly obligated to rebuild. There was room to think, had it not been spelled out, as we saw in the source, two warnings. Even if the wall had fallen down a second time, the owner of the vines might have thought that my obligation was to rebuild it a first time. Beyond that, I'm not obligated. Therefore, as we said, the Brisa spoke of the wall falling twice, and each time that was followed by a warning, putting him on notice that he has an ongoing responsibility to rebuild the wall. The Nifritza Pav Shlishis, a third breaking down of the wall, Mesafkilari in Tzorach Lahasrosu Kol Shah, if the wall would have fallen down a third time, the Re is in doubt, would that have to have been followed by a renewed warning to rebuild it? Oshem Osagi betrays him, Nifritza Lahasros Bo Yosir, or maybe the two warnings were enough, and there is no need to have a further warning. In other words, that by having been warned twice, that already shows the owner of the vineyard that he has an ongoing responsibility to make sure that the wall is fixed or remains standing. Rabbeinu Tam Meforesh de Lahochi Nokat Trei Zimni Vashminan. Rabbeinu Tam explains why the double statement of wall falling and warning, why does it appear twice? To tell us, She'im yesh Tosefes Mosayim. Before we continue reading in the Tosis, let's just introduce here an idea that we mentioned much earlier when we were learning the Gemara, and that is that when we speak about kilayim growth, grains growing too close to the vines, we say that if there is an increase of 1/200th, that's mosayim that's referred to here, that is the point at which we would declare them to be usur as kilei hakerem. In our case of the wall falling down, during the time, the duration of the absence of the wall, if the im yesh tesevis mosayim bein ma shehoisef benifritzo rishona ubein ma shehoisef benifritzo shnia, the ein mitstarfim lesar. Let us say that during the two spans of time that the wall was down, we mentioned the wall fell down, it was then rebuilt, it fell down again, and it was rebuilt. So there were two spans of time in which the wall was down. Let us say that there was increase in growth of grain of a total of 1/200th. By combining the increase of those two time periods, the presentation of the source indicates to us that we would not join up those two increased growths to total up to a 1/200th increase to create prohibition. Umarishona rishona batli, from the increase of less than 1/200th that took place during the first breach period, upon the rebuilding of the wall, that increase is voided, is discounted, or you might say that the reset button is pressed at that point. That's what Tosis means when he says Umrishona, from the first rebuilding of the wall after its first break. The first rebuilding, the increased growth that took place right before Botel is voided. Verachti begezel kamo v'perek bameh isha. Tosu says that he elaborated on this in two other places, one in Bava Kama and one in Maseches Shabbos. Tosus at the top of Beis Omid Beis, Nisyayish Hemena Velo Godra, we saw in the Tanaic source dealing with the Kilei HaKerem, that if the owner of the vineyard gives up hope and doesn't
bother rebuilding it, then the Isur of Kilei HaKerem will set in. Davko Nisyayish, the Isur, the prohibition of Kilei HaKerem, is only in the event that he actually gives up hope of rebuilding it. He simply is misyayish from rebuilding it. Avolo nisyayish ba'isei kal shalikdor. If the owner of the vineyard hasn't given up hope and he's involved with attempting at to rebuild it during this entire period that the wall is down, he is intent on rebuilding it. He's preoccupied with rebuilding it. Afal pi shehoisef masayim, even though there might be an increase of 1/200th during the time that it hasn't been rebuilt yet, mutter, the prohibition doesn't set in. The prohibition of Kilei HaKerem doesn't set in. Kidisnan Maseches Kilayim, as is taught in Maseches Kilayim. Before we go on, let us emphasize the main point, and that is that when we speak about increase of 1/200th in growth causes Kilei HaKerem, it's not based on simply objective measures that the grain has grown more than 1/200th while the wall was down. When you deal with the topic of Kilei HaKerem, the main consideration, the overriding consideration, is a matter of state of mind. Are you intent on preventing it or not? If you've been misyayish, so then the 1/200th increased growth will determine prohibition. If you, however, have in mind and are intent and are preoccupied with trying to rebuild the wall, even though, as long as it hasn't been rebuilt, there happens to be, even though during the time that the wall is down there is an increase of 1/200th, the Isser doesn't set in. And where do we see this? From the Mishnah in Kilayim, where it says, Haroya Yerek Bekerem, someone sees vegetation growing in a vineyard, the Omar, and he says, Kishagia Lasham Alaktenu, when I get there, I will remove it. Hoisif Mosai Mutter, even if there's an increase of growth of 1/200th till he gets there, it remains mutter. It's not affected. The Isur of Kilayim doesn't sit in. However, if the vineyard owner says, L'chishe'echzor alaktenu, when I return there, when I get back there, I will then remove the yerek. Hosef Mosai Moser. In a case like that, where he says, when I get back to it, I'll uproot it, we see that he's not going there in a direct fashion. So in a case like that, where he first has in mind to take care of other things, and then when he gets back to it, he'll uproot it, if there's an increase during that time period of 1/200th, then there is Isser. Prohibition sets in. Alma, we see from here, Keshu Mechazer Achali Kitosa, when he is, we'll say, single-minded in attempting to uproot the Yerek, Afilu Hoisif Masayim Mutter, even if, until he actually does uproot it, it increases 1/200th, it remains Mutter. The Isur of Kilayim doesn't set in. Vatam Yesh Leforesh, and the reason for this, we explain Mishum Dechtiv. The Pasuk says, Lo Sizra Karmecho Kilayim. That's what the Pasuk actually says, which literally is, do not plant grains in your vineyard. However, we learn from this, Dumya Dizriya, the Nichole. Just like the proactive action of planting is something that you are satisfied with, is something, the Nichole, that you are happy with, so too, the Isser of Kilayim sets in only when you have nichole, when you have satisfaction with it. But if you have someone that is single-minded and on his way to prevent the Kilayim, either to uproot the Yerek, as we saw before, or to build the wall, even if in the interim there is an increase of 1/200th, that does not create prohibition.
Tosfos Dibur Maskil v'chayav b'achriuso. We saw in the Brisa concerning Kilei HaKerem that if the owner of the vineyard does not rebuild the wall, he must pay for the damage, for the kilayim ruination of the grains. Afagav dehezek she'enu nikur lo shmei hezek, even though we rule that damage that is not obvious, that's not visible, not recognizable, is not considered damage, which would mean that the offender would not be obligated to compensate. Nira lari dehai choshev hezek nikur, that in this case the kilayim problem is considered visible damage. How is that? Sharei nikurhu shehu kilayim kishiroa hagifane basodeh, that when one simply walks by and sees vines growing in proximity of grains, that is clearly, to any onlooker, a kilayim situation. We indicated before that there must be a lateral distance in the absence of a wall of 4 amos. If that is lacking, so it's clear to any passerby that you have growth in a prohibited fashion. So that the ruling of Chayav Bachriusa, that the vineyard owner must compensate the owner of the grain field for the kilayim damage, falls under the realm of Hezek Sheniker. There's another area of halacha where, let us say, someone defiles someone else's produce. Umetame, someone who causes defilement. Afal pi sheroyin hasheretz al hataros. Even if one says, maybe I should preface and say that the Gemara rules that one who causes tuma, one who is metame, someone else's produce, he is not held responsible. That's called hezek sheino nikur. So Tosfos points out, even if you see the sheretz, which is the source of the tumah, on the taros, on the food that must otherwise remain undefiled, and here you see the sheretz on the food items, lo choshev hezek nikur. It's not considered damage that's visible. Demi yodea im huchshru. Who knows? Who is to say whether or not the fruits became susceptible to tumah absorption in the first place? In other words, by seeing a dead mouse sitting on a pile of someone's grapes, that doesn't mean that there's tumah. Tumah sets in only if the grapes had at one point been washed off, had been wet. As I look at a pile of grapes with a dead mouse sitting atop them, I'm not sure. I can't be sure that those grapes became tumah. Imagine those grapes were never subjected to any dampness, any water. They wouldn't have become huchshel lekabel tumah. And therefore, the presence of a sheret, even the presence of the sherets on the grapes, does not create a situation of recognizable damage, recognizable tumah. Therefore, as we said before, one who is metamis, someone else's produce, cannot be held guilty of hezek, of a payment for damages, because that's in the realm of hezek she'eino nikur. Avol. Ein lomar. Tosfos goes on to say, to dispel the following. One should not analyze the case of the kilayim as dehochinami have hezek she'eino nikur v'konsuhu kemo b'metame shelo yehi kol echad. Because even though we said before that one who is metamis, someone else's produce, is not held responsible, that's by way of letter of the law. However, there is a knas, a fine imposed on someone who creates tumah, so as to deter them from going further and being metame other people's produce. So we say that if you are metamis, someone's produce, you have to pay, even though it's in the realm of hezek sheino nikur. Well, don't apply that analysis to the case of the kilayim, claiming that it too is a case of hezek sheino nikur, and the reason for saying chayav bachriuso is because of a knas. Dehacha leka lemeimar hachi. Here, there is no room to say that. Shebala kerem nami, the owner of the vineyard. What are you afraid of? That the owner of the vineyard is going to go cause Kilayim and other places as well? Not so, because the owner of the vineyard, nami mafsid, he too loses. His vines, his grapes that grow in a Kilayim situation, meaning within the proximity of grains, they too become prohibited. And therefore, there's a built-in deterrence, a deterrent for him to go further and create Kilayim in other places. Viodi knasu, and furthermore, if the obligation of payment that is referred to in the Braisa Chayav Machriso is a function of a knas, of a fine, b'meizidavka hoyolo l'schayev, that's only appropriate in a case of a deliberate Kilayim situation. And the Maharam explains that would be what would be a case of deliberate Kilayim formation. That's a case where the owner of the vines smashed the wall proactively. But that's not the. But we saw in our case Nifritsa, the wall fell down on its own, and still there was obligation to compensate. Therefore, it cannot be of the function of a knas, a fine imposition, but rather, as we explained before, you're dealing with the realm of hezek sheniker, as we explained at the beginning of the Tosfos. Tosfos dibur hamaschil v'eimo. V'eimo mai mechitza pluta. We saw the Gemara attempt to suggest an alternative explanation as to the word mechitza shutfim shirotsu lasus mechitza, that mechitza means let us make a division. Meforishri mishum da'al loshon gudo yesh kamakushos kideporach besomuch. The reason for the Gemara raising an alternative suggestion at this point is because the opening version, namely that mechitza meant wall, is a version that is subject to quite a few questions, as the Gemara raises later. Now, in light of the fact, or the, we'll say, the awareness that the guda or wall version of explaining mechitza is, let's say, an explanation subject to questioning. Therefore, the Gemara went out of its way to suggest an alternative explanation, namely that mechitza means make a division. Even though in all other places where you see the word mechitza, there it's obviously the reference to a wall. But in the context of our Mishnah, to explain mechitza as referring to a wall, we saw by learning the Gemara, we saw all the difficulties that arose. Therefore, the Gemara already is attempting to suggest an alternative explanation, namely mechitza meaning plukta. Tosfos dibur hamaschil v'kevon. The Gemara pointed out v'kevon derotsu boinen es hakoisel bar kocho. In explaining the Mishnah hashutfin shirotsu lasus mechitza, the shutfin that want to make a mechitza, then the added expression in the Mishnah boinen es hakoisel, where it could have said bonen oso, but it said bonen es hakoisel, the Gemara explained that indicates bal korcho. The building of the wall, once they agree to have it's built against their will. In other words, if one objects to it, he must yield. L'kaman muki law, later, the Gemara sets up the case of the Mishnah, k'she'ein bo din chaluka, where the chotzer in question is a small chotzer. It's less than 8 amos, so it's not something that, it's not a chotzer that can be, let's say, forcibly divided at the outset. So, in a case like that, they would have to agree to have the wall built. And then we said, once they agree to have the wall built, then it's built against their will. And that's what Bonin Esakoso revealed to us. For Tamal the Ri. The Ri raises an objection, a question. The Amai Noka Tano de Masnisin Be'ein Bodin Chaluka of the Kotoni Rotsu. Why does the Tana of the Mishnah, in order to, we'll say, justify, why does the Tana use an example of a we'll call a too small chotzer, less than 8 amos, and the only reason that the wall is built is because they rotsu, they agreed to have it built? Lo lisni rotsu, avoid using the word rotsu, v'lairi b'shiesh bo din chaluka, and speak about a chotzer that is subject to division. It's 8 amos. You can divide 4 amos per person. And under circumstances like that, if you have a chotzer that has a din chaluka, and one party says, I want to build a wall, we would have the wall built even without any initial unanimous agreement to something, even without rotsu. The tirates and the re-answers. Why does the Tana choose to teach by using the word rotsu a case of a chotzer shein bo din chaluka? The komash molon. The Mishnah reveals to us the salka daitoch b'shein bo din chaluka. I would have thought, without being taught what the Mishnah teaches, I on my own would have thought that if you're dealing with a too small chotzer, the motzi lemeimar, that one could say to the other, in a case of agreement, where I agree, in a case of rotsu, ki yisrat soy loch lachloik almanas shelo lasos gudo, avol almanas lasos gudo lo yisratzi loch. When I agreed to a division in a too small chotzer, again, this is all assuming that the Mishnah had not taught the case of too small chutzer. On my own, I would have thought, well, in a case of a too small chutzer where one agrees to the other, he agrees to a division, but not with the building of a wall. I never agreed to have the building of a wall. Therefore, the Mishnah teaches, a case of a too small chutzer, when there is agreement, you are agreeing to the building of a wall as well. There are versions that have this give and take stated explicitly. Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Hava Amino. The Gemara pointed out that had the Mishnah said Boinen Oisoi instead of Boinen Es HaKoisel, I would have thought that the wall that's built is a mere masipas, wooden slats. So that had the Mishnah said Hashutfin Shirotsu Lasois Mechitza, partners in a chotzer that want to build a wall, if it would have said boinen oisoi, they build a wall made of slats, mipaspiel. Pirush. Verotsu dekotoni, the Mishnah that said hashutfin sherotsu, is amasipas. They agreed to building a wall of slats. That is what I would have thought had the Mishnah said oso. Viafogav. The belav rotsu nami oisin mesipas bal korcham, and even without the rotsu, the agreement, a mesipas would have been erected bal korcham kidemuchach besomuch, as the Gemara proves later on, the Kaomar, where the Gemara said my lav bekoisel bo bemesipas, in a chotzer that has enough for division, we say that the chotzer could be divided even against their will, and the Gemara said, is it not with the wall? No, the division would have been with a mesipas. So we see that even without the Ratzu element, even without the agreement element, a Masipas would have been constructed. Well, nevertheless, that's different. Hainu Masipas Goruha. That's an exceptionally flimsy type Masipas. Aval ki Ratzu, when there is agreement, Eisen Masipas Migvil Vigozis Kemine Gamadina. A Masipas type wall would be built using the stone material in accordance with the meaning of the Medina. Now, up till now, we've been explaining Masipas as referring to wooden slats. Now you're seeing a new approach. An actual stone wall. So why is it called Masipas? Umikri Masipas. Why is it called Masipas if it's a stone wall? Masipas has a connotation of something that's less than totally solid. Well, because even in the case of a stone wall, you could the word Masipas is appropriate. The fi shehu mole chalonos. Once again, take advantage of the Pirush Chai Sefer. We're dealing with a stone wall that's full of windows, holes in it, windows. Kidapirush ba'oruch, as is explained in the Oruch. The Eino Megin Mehezekriya, a Masipas like that, is a wall like that, does not provide a sense of privacy. It doesn't protect against Hezekiah. Inami, another explanation of how a stone wall could be described as Masipas. L'fisheinu gavoa asora. It's a wall that's not even 10 tvochim in height. Kinemuchach lekamon gabi, as is proven later on in another sukya, gabi gag hasomuch lechotzer or legag, the Omer of Nachman, where Rav Nachman says, we saw this in our Gemara, Oiselo Maike Gavoa Asora. That between the Gag and the Chotzer, or if you have the version between the two rooftops, a Maike Asora is erected. Uporach Lamai, what is a wall, a fence of 10 Tvochim useful for? What's it worth? E Lehezek Ria, Dal Amazblin, and if the interest is to protect from invasion of privacy, you would need to have a wall of 4 amos. V'i l'nitfas kiganov, and if you need a point of demarcation to indicate that encroachment upon or crossing over that line, you would be viewed as a thief, the Masipas Sagi. A Masipas would have been enough, which is less than 10 tvochim. So you see the term Masipas used in the context of a low type wall, namely a wall that's even that happens to be less than 10 tefachim. Even though, as we indicated before, that we're not placing any premium on the actual building material. Uva kuntres pirish, Rashi has a different approach. He says the rotsu dekotoni achaluka koi. The kavona of the Gemara, when it says that had the Mishnah said bonano so, I would have thought that the kavona is that the chotzer is to be divided with a mesipas, and the Mishnah that says hashutfin sherotsu, the kavona is the kavona is to divide the chotzer, so that the Rashi explains already at this point in the Gemara. Once again, let us repeat: the Mishnah had it said hashutfin sherotsu lasos mechitza, had it said boinano so. So I would have thought that the rotsu is a desire to divide. And the boinano so would be the division of the chotzer with a masipas. How, though, and here Rashi, here the Tosis raises a series of questions on Rashi's explanation. V'tema. Deha asik de mechitza hainu guda. At this point in the Gemara, we're within the first lashon of the Gemara. How can you explain that rotsu is a reference to making a division when we already explained hashutfin sherotsu is a desire concerning making a wall. The E plukta, if, as Rashi said, that Rotsu is a reference to the desire to divide, Lachsos miboile, the more appropriate language should have been Lachsos. Viod, furthermore, if you adopt Rashi's approach, Hechi Motsi Lememar, how could you have thought that had the term Oso appeared, to Havamina b'mesipas bi'almo, that the thinking concerning our Mishnah is that the division would be made by putting up a mesipas. Hoshamino lemi seifa. That information is taught in the seifa, namely the Mishnah daf Yud Aleph, in the case of a chotzer that's ein ba kedei chaluka de katani, and it taught in a chotzer that's ein ba kedei chaluka. Abu Bizman Shishneim Roitzim. This is what you can see in the Mishnah later on Daf Yud Aleph, when both parties, however, desire. Afilu Pochos Mikan Yachlok, even if it's less than 8 Amas of Chotzer, it is divided if they agree to it. And V'hainu L'chol HaPochos B'Mesipas. That division would be with the Mesipas. So that you see that this information concerning the division of a chotzer with mesipas, in that case it's a too small chotzer, that information is dealt with in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph. So to suggest that our Mishnah in a Havamina would have been teaching that information, that would have been redundant. V'yod, furthermore, using, if you're going to adopt Rashi's approach, Hechi Havamotze Lememar B'mesipas be'almo, how is there any room to think that our Mishnah is referring to the building of a making a division and then the subsequent building of a mesipas wall? According to Rashi, who doesn't have the different kinds of mesipas in his mindset, but rather according to Rashi, mesipas would mean wooden slats. Yeah, but our Mishnah itself refers explicitly to using different kinds of stone material, gauzes and veal, rendering Rashi's presentation of the Hava Mina, had it said Hashutfin Shirotsu, a reference to Shutfin that want to make a division, they would then build the Mesipas in the middle, and Rashi's idea of Mesipas is wooden slats, that doesn't fit in whatsoever with the context of the Mishnah that deals with gozes and veal of stone building materials. Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Boinin. Boinin es hakoisel be'emtza. Pshita. This, of course, was a quote from the Gemara. Leman de Omar Guda Porach. Tosfos points out that the Gemara in saying Pshita is really a question directed according to the approach, the first Loshen that says that Hashutfin Shirotsu Lasus Mechitza, Shutfin that want to build a wall. And on regarding that, Shutfin that want to build a wall, so is it necessary for the Mishnah to say you build it in the middle? And therefore the question of the Gemara Pshita is directed against that particular approach. Kamo kol hanach pirchi de lekamon, like all the following questions that appear in the Gemara. De kishehiknu lasois guda, kach hikno ze, kamo ze. That, as the Gemara explains about Gimel Amud Aleph, where they made a kinyan, and that's why we said that the wall must be built. If you recall in the Gemara, what caused the point of the irreversible? Because they made a kinyan to make a wall. Well, if they made a kinyan to make a wall, and that's what's going on in the Mishnah, just like this one made a kinyan, so too, that one made a kinyan. They both made a kinyan, one with the other. Upshita de Bamsa. And it's obvious that the wall will be built in the middle. So, as Tosfos says, when the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Bainas Akis Bamsa, and we ask Pshita, we're asking, according to the Man D'Omar, that the mechitza referred to is the building of a wall. Avolaman D'Omar Plukta. But according to the second Loshen, and we saw this already suggested earlier in the Gemara, that Hashutfin Shirotsu Lasus Mechitza means Shutfin that want to make a division, then we wouldn't say pshita regarding the phrase of Boynes HaKesel Bantza. It's Terech Lemeimar. Then you need to be taught that the wall is to be built in the middle. Because if you're going to take the approach of Hashutfin Shirotsu Lasus Mechitza means Shuvim that want to make a division, Salka Deita Chamina, there is room to have thought, De Mishum Hezek Ria, because of the invasion of privacy consideration, Yeshlo the Sayea Bevinyan HaKoysel. So the second party has to help in the building of the wall, help in payment, supplying materials, avol ein lo livnois bechelkai bishvil kach, but not necessarily that half of the wall shall be built on his property. Oh, so that's what I could have thought had I adopted the approach of Hashutfin Shirotsu Lasus Mechitza means Shutfin that wanted to make a division. Then a case like that, the Mishnah has to spell out that the building of the wall shall be in the middle. Because otherwise, if you left out that, I would have thought that the building of the wall, yes, in terms of supplying materials or payment, but in the middle, meaning half on my property as well, that I never agreed to. Therefore, the question of the Gemara Pshita would have been inappropriate according to the Man D'Omar that Lasus Mechitza means Plukta, to make a division. Tosfos Dibura Maschil Ta Shma. The Gemara at this point was trying to bring evidence or sources that Hezek Riya Shmei Hezek, and it said V'chein Begina, the need for a wall applies to a Gina as well. L'kamon Maskinon, later in the Gemara concludes the Hachi Komar, that the reading of the Mishnah when it said V'chein Begina is to be understood V'chein Begina Stam, the unqualified Gina, the standard Gina, kemokim shenohagu ligdor domi, is like a place that the practice is one to construct walls. So since that's the essential understanding of V'chein Begina, that a Gina is viewed automatically as a place that walls would be built, Hilkoch, therefore, Dayak Shapir the Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek. Therefore, the Gemara had good reason for trying to prove from here that damage caused by invasion of privacy is considered a real form of damage. Then the Gemara said, we continue with the next Tosfos Dibur Maschil Gina Shaini. The Gemara responded that the case of Gino and the need for a wall there is different. Kid Rabbi Abba, based on Rabbi Abba's teaching that the which in short form dealt with the problem of Ayin Ra'ah, the jealous gazing eye, that's a more imminent source of damage than simple invasion of privacy. V'im Tomar, you might ask, Umehai Taimo Yischayev Nami Ligdo Rebika, because of the prohibition of osur la'adam lamoid, it's also for a person to stand by while the other party's property is full of vegetation. That should be reason to force the building of a wall in a bika between two grain fields. And yet we said that in the case of grain fields there is no obligation, but there's growth of grain, there's growth of vegetation in grain fields as well, the grain itself. Why do we not force the other party to participate in the building of a wall? V'yesh lomar, in Tosfos answers, the shiny gina, the circumstances of a gina are different than the circumstances of a bika, of a grain field. Why? Shemegadlin bo yerek la'achila. A gina is a place where vegetables are raised for consumption. A vegetable garden is constantly filled with vegetation. Different kinds of vegetables are raised, and they are raised around the year. And it's always with growth in it. And therefore, the need to protect against ayin ra is of a prevailing nature. When it comes to grains and their maturity and full development, that has relevance 1 month out of the year. And as a result, to force the building of a wall to protect against ayin ra because of 1 month out of the year, that far we do not go. Avol, but nevertheless, asulamud b'shal shomedes b'komoseh. During that particular month, though, the Rabbi Abba's teaching nevertheless applies that you are not to stand next to someone's field when the grains are in full maturity and gaze upon it because of the problem of ruining his field with the ayin ra'a. So just to once again repeat the last point with regard to a bika, even though Rabbi Abba's prohibition of being oimed al stei chavero applies, that's not enough reason for the forced building of a wall, because in the case of the grain field, that has applicability only for 1 month out of the year, as opposed to the gina, which is year round. V'im tomar, you might ask, ulamadomar plukta. According to the approach that lasis mechitza means shutfin that want to make a division, kevan da'ashmin and afilu b'chotzer shmei hezek, in learning this, that version, the plukta version, where we what we call the second lashon of the Gemara, shutfin that want to make a division, they must then build a wall. And that leads to the conclusion that even in a chotzer, hezek rio shmei hezek, invasion of privacy is considered a reality as a form of damage. Kol shekein begina, then all the more so in the case of begina, v'amayit tzurich sulamisni v'chein begina. Why, according to that version, is there any necessity of even making reference in the Mishnah to begina? It would be so obvious. The fact that the Mishnah goes on to tell us the obvious would then seem to weaken that particular position that lasus mechitza means to make a division. The Gemara responds, no, it's okay to teach the Mishnah with that understanding. Shufen that want to lasus mechitza, they want to make a division. And they then boinin esachos, and then they must build a wall because of hezek re'iyah. You'll ask, what do I have to teach v'chein begina for? V'yesh lomar the itzrich v'chein begina lemisni. It's necessary for that to be taught mishum gvil v'gazus, because of the building materials that in a gina as well as a chotzer, just like in a chotzer, gvil v'gazus are the materials for the wall. So too, if that's the practice, you would use gvil and gazus in a gina wall as well. So hence, the v'chein begina has relevance even according to the Mandi Omar plukta. In responding to the subsequent attempt of the Gemara to prove hezek ria from the, we'll say, the pre-existing wall that fell down, and we said that you can't force the other party to build beyond a height of 4 amos, but up till 4 amos of rebuilding height can be enforced. And the Gemara said, well, nafla shaymi. And Tosfos explains, like we explained earlier, the case of where there was a pre-existing wall, shehurgalu lasos dover hetz. Now those parties had become accustomed to doing acts of privacy b'chotzer, v'lolomdu lizoyer zemiz, and they had not become accustomed to be careful from one another. So in a case where they had originally agreed and then that wall fell down, they had become so accustomed to conduct themselves on each one on their respective sides of the wall in doing acts that require great privacy. Therefore, under those circumstances, one can insist on the other in the rebuilding of the wall. But to cite that as a as an example in general that Hezek, Rish Mehezek, that you cannot do. Ude Kori Law, my Kori Law. And the Gemara was so, so stricken by the obvious answer of Nofal Shaini. What was the Makshin's Havamina in trying to prove from that source of the Kaisel Shev Shenofla as a source that could prove Hezek Riyo Shmei Hezek? What was his thinking? Klomar, the Pshita de Nofal Shaini. It's obvious that that case is different, the wall that had been there and then fell down. The Adarab, and to the contrary, from the very fact that the Mishnah teaches a case of a wall that fell down, then we force the other party to assist in the rebuilding, to participate in the rebuilding. You could infer from that, in general, given a chotzer where there was no pre-existing wall, lo shmei hezek, that the encroachment of on one on the other party's privacy is not considered a form of damage, so that the Gemara in saying udekori law my kori law is Tosfos is explaining it that at that point the Gemara says if anything you could have used the case of the kaisel chotzer shenofal as a proof in Dafka in your direction that Hezek Ria lo shmei Hezek. The Gemara then explained what it explained. We don't have to review that now. Tosfos Dibur Hamaschil Hezeka de Rabim Shaini. Before we learn this Tosfos, I would recommend that we learn a piece of Mishnah and Gemara from Daf Zayin Omid Beis. I hope everyone has a Gemara available. So we're going to look at the Gemara, Bava Basra, Dav Zayin Mabez, the beginning of the Mishnah that you find in the upper part of the page. Kaifin Oisoi Livnois Beis Shar Videles Lechotzer. If you have a member of a courtyard that isn't so interested in contributing, we can force him to build a Beis Shar, and we had originally when we saw this reference to Beis Shar earlier, we recommended using the Pirush Chai to appreciate what this is. It's a semi-circular wall built outside the entrance to a walled courtyard. So that's the Beis Shar and Delis and a door for a Chotzer. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer lo kol hachatzerus ruis lebeis shar. Rav Shimon disagrees regarding the beis shar. Not all chatzerus are fit to have a beis shar. Now we skip down to the Gemara on Daf Zayin Omid Beis, the first wide line. Kaifin oisei levnois beis shar videlus lechatzer. Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer lo kol hachatzerus ruis lebeis chatzer. Here we have a brisa that elaborates on Reb Shimon Gamliel, or where Reb Shimon Gamliel is seen to elaborate. He says, not all courtyards are fit to having a base shar. El chotzer smuchu l'shus harabim ru'u lebeis shar, a chotzer that is built right up along a public thoroughfare, that is the kind of chotzer that's fit to have this additional semicircular wall in front of the entrance to the chotzer. V'sheinu smucha l'shus harabim, a chotzer, however, that's not set built adjacent to the Rishus Ram, but it's set in further in off the public thoroughfare. So it's distanced from the public thoroughfare. Ein orui lebeis shar. That kind of chotzer, that kind of courtyard, is not fit to, let's say, demand having a beis shar. So Reb Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah, he makes a distinction between chotzer in the proximity of Rishus Rabim versus chotzer set off at a distance from the Rishus Rabim. The Rabbanan, though, disagree. they are of the opinion that even a chotzer that's set off from the main thoroughfare, v'rabbonon zimnin dedachi b'nei rishus rabbim v'ayilu v'asu, sometimes there are large crowds in occupying a major thoroughfare, and we can call it the spillover phenomenon, where the members of the rishus rabbim are pushed into the called the side streets where this chotzer is located, and because of that, the rabbonim are of the opinion that even under those circumstances, a beis shar is necessary. Now, that having been said, we turn to our Tosfos. Dibur Hamasvil Hezeka de Rabim Shaini. The Gemara had pointed out that you cannot prove Hezek Rio Shmehezek from the case of the forcing of the building of a Beis Shar, because the Hezek, the damage caused by the multitudes gazing upon your Chotzer, that's different. That's a greater form of privacy invasion than a single neighbor. The afalgaf de lekamon mashma da airi bechotzer she'eno smucho l'shus rabim. And Tosfos points out what we just got finished discussing, that in describing the chotzer, we saw that the rabbonon were insisting on the building of a Beis Shar, even concerning a chotzer that is set off from the major thoroughfare. So you'll ask, Mikomokom, Iko Hezeka de Rabim, de Zimnin, de Dachki, Rabim, Va'ili, Lahosin, Kanamir, Lakamon. Because of the spillover factor, so that even if it's not adjacent to just Rabim, the Rabbonin are of that opinion that a Beis Shar is necessary because of the spillover factor. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Afalgav de less lay hay taimo de zimnin de dachki rabim, and Reb Shimon Gamliel, who said lo kol achatzeros shavos, that not all chatzeros are the same, he does not consider that as a problem. Namely, the zimnin de dachki rabim, the overflow factor, is not a consideration or reason enough for forcing of the building of a base shar. Mikol makom, nevertheless, meirachoik yechayim liros lifnim. The concept of hezeka the rabbim has relevance, even according to Reb Shimon Leal, even regarding a chotzer that's set off from the rishus rabbim. V'lochei ulekach lo poli yelo beishar, and therefore Reb Shimon Leal's disagreement with the Rabbonin is limited to the case of the Beis Shar. Aval bedeles moide de kaifenoi selivnos. But as far as the door that would block the would seal off or block the entrance to the chotzer, there Rav Shimon Leal agrees that you need to have a deles. And with that in mind, then according to all opinions, Hezeka de Rabim has relevance to all kinds of chatzeros, according to all the deos, according to the Rabbonin and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel as well. Just to repeat that the need for the extra protection offered by the Beis Shar, on that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel happens to disagree if you're dealing with a chatzer that's set off from the Rishus HaRabim. Tosfos Dibur Hamaschil Mai Lav B'Kosel. Before we get into the Tosfos, it would be of benefit for us to go back to the Gemara on Daf Beis Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. We saw a Tanaic source. I said 12 lines from the bottom, but we just go back to two more lines up, 14 lines from the bottom. The Gemara cited a source in order to show that Hezek Riyoshme Hezek Ein Choykin Es HaChotzrat Sheik Bo Dalet Amos Lezeh V'Dalet Amos Lezeh. A Chotzer is not divided until each party has four Amos. Ha Yesh Bo Kedei Lozeh Kedei Lozeh Choykin. However, if there is a Chotzer of eight Amos where you have four Amos for each party, then it is chalkin, divided, my lav, because it is not so, that the division is with a wall, indicating hezek riyo shme hezek. Now, the Gemara at that point then said, no, that's not the case. It's the division is with a Masipas Bama, flimsy type of division, which we saw does not prevent Hezek Ria. However, if the Gemara didn't reject that, but left us with the thinking that the division was with a wall, then the Gemara's feeling was, oh, now you see that Hezek Ria Shme Hezek. Tosfos now asks on that conclusion, on that, we'll say that stage of the Gemara, where if the understanding is that a wall is built, that proves Hezek Rio Shmei Hezek, the Tosfos says, Tema, for your Hebekoisel, let it be that the division is with a wall, and still, how can you prove Hezek Rio Shmei Hezek? Dilma, Hachi Pirusho. Maybe the understanding is as follows. What Tosfos now does is reviews the Tanaic source. Ein chalkin es hachotzer, afilu ha'echad roitze livnois es ha'kaisel besoich shelo. You will not divide a chotzer, even if one of the parties wants to build the wall entirely in his own domain. Ad shehei bo dalet amos l'chol echad, until there is four amos for each party. Ha'im yesh dalet amos l'chol echad. However, if there is four amos for each party in dividing the chotzer, meaning you're dealing with a piece of property measuring eight amos, then there is chulkin. Im rotzo lichnos v'livnos besoch shalo. Then we would allow the one party that wants a wall to build it exclusively on his side, within his four amos. But he can't force the other one, the partner in that chotzer, to build. Maybe that's the understanding. That once you have eight amos, you have four per person, so that one of the neighbors, if he wants to put a wall up in his own domain, in his own half, go ahead and do it. You can't force the other guy. Now, if things were to be understood like that, then by the mere fact that I can't force the other guy, that shows that Hezek Ria, that would show Hezek Ria Lo Shmei Hezek, that invasion of privacy is not a form of actual damage. Because if it was a form of actual damage, you wouldn't be saying that you can't force the other guy. The other guy would have to participate equally. So why does the Gemara feel that if the understanding of the source is that the Chokin is with a Kaisel, now I am comfortable in concluding Hezek Rio Shmei Hezek? V'yesh Lomar, Tosfos answers, the Chokin, that word Chokin, which we saw in the Tanaic source, that ain't Chokin, and then we inferred if there's eight Amos, then yes, Chokin, that word Chokin, mashma be'emza. That's mashma that the wall that would be used to divide would be built initially in the middle. Oh, building it in the middle means you can force the other guy to participate. And that's because Hezek Rio Shmei Hezek, and that's why the Gemara thought that it had proof to Hezek Rio Shmei Hezek from that source. De'i Ashmein and Kedepi Rashnu. If the understanding of the source was like we suggested here, namely that if you've got eight amas, so then one of the two can build a wall, but exclusively in his own domain, have lay lemisni, then the loshon should have been as follows: ein eisen kaisel bechotzer ad shiehe v'chule, etc., until you have four amas lezeh and four amas lezeh. But that's not the Loshen. The Loshen that was used was Chulkin, indicating that the building of the wall would have initially been in the middle. The next Tosfos, Dibur Masul Shaini Hasam, This was found four lines from the bottom of Beis Amud Beis in the Gemara regarding the case that Rav Nachman spoke of, the Gag HaSomach L'Chotzer Chavero. And we said, Shiny Hasam Yomar Le Baal HaChotzer L'Baal HaGag. There, the need for a wall is because the owner of the Chotzer was accustomed to constant use and didn't know to, he wouldn't be on sufficient guard from the Baal HaGag that might pop up there on an intermittent basis. So the Gemara had attempted to prove from Rav Nachman from that case, before it rejected it, had tried to prove from that case that Hezek Riosh Mei Hezek. Tema Amai Lo Maisi Midesanya LeKamon. Tosis raises a strong question. Why does the Gemara not try to bring proof that Hezek Riosh Mei Hezek from that which is taught in a Braisa later on? Shtei Chatzera Zu L'malo Mizu. Two Chatzeras, one higher than the other, in a terraced type of construction. Lo Yoimar HaElyoin. The upper one cannot say Hareini Baina Mikenegdi Vaila, that I'll participate in the building of a wall from my height upwards. Ela Mesayea Milamato Baina. Rather, he is obligated to participate in the building of the wall from the very bottom up, even though he's located, as we said, in a terraced construction on the higher level. He must participate from the very initial building of the wall from the very bottom. Why does he have to participate in that? Alma Hezek, Alma Shmei Hezek. You can see from that invasion of privacy is a form of actual damage. So this guy in the upper chotzer is said to be, we'll say, damaging the guy in the lower chotzer by his ability to invade his privacy by looking down into what's going on there. Therefore, he has to participate in the building of the wall from the very bottom. That would seem to have been a very strong source of Hezek Riosh Shmei Hezek. There are Rishonim that deal with this and answer it. We cited to look into the Chidush Eiran and the Heoros that are found in the edition that comes from Moshe Rav Kook, and there's a Tosfos Rid that deals with this, also found in you can find that in the Telman edition of the Gemara's in the back. We continue at the top of Daf Gimel Omed Aleph. Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil, Mai Komash Molon. This Tosfos is quoting from the Gemara that you can see 16 lines from the top of Daf Gimel Omed Aleph. The Gemara had said, once Rabbi Yochanan tells us that the Mishnah is speaking about a chotzer she'ein bo din chalukah, and it was necessary for Rabbi Yochanan to teach that in order to explain why the Mishnah speaks in terms of rotsu, where the shutfin, that there had to be some kind of agreement on the part of both partners, owners of that chotzer. So Rabbi Yochanan said that the Mishnah is talking about a chotzer that we call the too small chotzer ein bo din chalukah, less than 8 amos. And as only as a result of their wanting to divide, then the wall is built. My komash molon teisvis the a b'she'ein ba din chalukah. If you're talking about a chotzer that's ein ba din chalukah, when they want to divide, so they divide. So the Gemara had said, well, that was learned already, that's already taught in another Mishnah. I don't need this Mishnah to teach me the same thing. Tosfos explains the words of the Gemara as follows. Afal gav de komash malon de shmei hezek. Even though there is actually important information in talking about a chotzer she'ein bo din chalukah. When they want to divide, then they can force the building of a wall. And from that, we would have learned that Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek. So why is the Gemara even asking my Kol Mashmalon? What's it telling me when it's telling me something of significance?
Hachi Pirusho. Tosus explains what was on the Gemara's mind when it said my Kol Mashmalon. Hachi Pirusho. My Kol Mashmalon b'mai da'airi b'ein bo din chaluka.
What is gained by teaching a Mishnah, our Mishnah, that features a too small chatzer?
L'shaminon b'yesh bo din chaluka. Afagav de lorot supalki.
Why not feature a large enough chatzer that has a din chaluka, eight amas, at least eight amas? And even if you don't have agreement on the part of both parties, a division can be insisted upon. And then the continuation of the Mishnah would be, because I think it's obvious if you've been following the Gemara itself, you're dealing here with the opinion that says that a shutfin shorotsu lasus mechitza, a shutfin that wanted to divide. And what's on the Gemara's mind in asking my Kol Mashmalon, you could have in fact taught a case concerning a chotzer that has enough room for division. And even then, without the agreement of both parties, a division could have been insisted upon. So that's the explanation of the Gemara. Now, Tosfos asks a question. Tema. Why are you asking my Kol Mashmalon if it's Ein Bo Din Chaluka? Well, Ha Kol Mashmalon. The following is revealed. The Afilu Be Ein Bo Din Chaluka. That even in the case of a Chotzer, that's too small, that's less than 8 Amos, it's Ein Bo Din Chaluka. De Iko Lememar, there was room to think. Almanas Lasos Guda Lo Isratzoi. When I agreed to making the division, one could say to the other, I agreed to making the division. I did not agree to the building of a wall on my section. Kidapirish Liel, as Tosus explained before on Daf Beis Omid Beis in Dibur HaMaschil V'Kivon, that in where we saw that there was a Havamina, that if it's Ein Bo Din Chaluka, the party that doesn't want to agree and finally agrees when he says, well, he could have said I agree to making a division, but not with the building of a wall included. So the Mishnah then comes to tell me that once you make an agreement, even if it's a too small chatzer, you're agreeing to the division and the building of a wall as well. So there is a chiddush in teaching a case of a too small chatzer. And Tosfos then leaves you off with this tema, with his question that's raised, why was the Gemara bothered by the Mishnah featuring a case of an Ein Bo Din Chaluka, thinking that it could have taught the same thing in Yesh Bo Din Chaluka? So Tosfos is explaining there's a great deal of chiddush in teaching me about a case of an Ein Bo Din Chaluka to tell me that in an Ein Bo Din Chaluka situation where the other party agrees, he is agreeing not only to the division, but he's agreeing to the building of a wall as well. Tosfos, Dibur Maschil, Ki Rotsu, Mai Have. The Gemara, four lines before the end of the narrow lines, said that, well, even if they agreed, so what? Why does the Mishnah go on to teach about the forcing of the building of a wall? Nehadru Bahu. Could they not back out? Could one party simply not back out? Le man de Omar mechitza guda lo porech. The Gemara at this point, when it's asking the question of let them back out, if one party wants to back, let them do so. This question of let there be back out is not a question raised according to the first
Lashon of the Gemara, which said that Mechitza is the reference to a wall. De'ika lemeimar, because there is room to certainly consider that when they agreed, the kanu, they made a kinyan, v'shibdu nichseim lebinyan ha'koysel. They made a kinyan gesture and bound their property toward the building of the wall. A kinyan made on tangible items, building materials, and the like, is a binding factor, so that if there was agreement in the Ein Bo Din Chalukah to make a division, or I should say, in the Ein Bo Din Chalukah, there was agreement to have a wall built, according to that Loshon, that the agreement was to have a wall built, there isn't any room to suggest let there be back out. El Olaman Dioma Plukta. But according to the approach that Mechitza meant simply to make a division, there is room to raise this question of Nehadru Behu. Because if it's an agreement to make a division, Lo Mahani Kinyan, the Kinyan spoken of wouldn't have been a binding factor to Kinyan Dvorim Ba'almahu. It's a mere kinyan over words, over the abstract. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, well, even if they made a kinyan, let them back out. The lomasika daite shekanu baruchas. At this point in the Gemara, where the Gemara is saying, even if they made a kinyan, it's a kinyan dvorim ba'amo, the Gemara wasn't considering that the kinyan that was made was regarding the respective directions. You take the east and I take the west. Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil, Kinyan Dvorim Ba'almahu. The Gemara had raised the question that even if there was agreement to divide and they made a Kinyan to that effect, it's not binding. It's a Kinyan of mere words. The Gemara then went on to answer what it does. However, Tosfos here makes reference to another Gemara, Gemara in Bava Metzia, Beperek Haseches HaPoyalim Disnan, Masne Shemers Chinom Lyois Kishoyal. An unpaid Bailey can state a condition whereby he would bind himself with increased obligation to be like a borrower. Whereas an unpaid Bailey is not obligated for damage or loss as a result of oines, geneva neveid as well, a shoyel is obligated even when there is a loss as a result of oines. Umuki law bekonomiodo. This idea of the shomer chinam, of the unpaid Bailey increasing his level of obligation, is done through a kinyan. You might ask, isn't that just a kinyan dvorim ba'alma? Shouldn't that also be not binding? Hosom lav kinyan dvorim hu, ele kinyan gomur hu. Tosfos points out that there is not a kinyan of mere air, of mere words, but it's a totally legally binding kinyan. Shemeshabedes atzmo shim ya'ones shiyashalim. He is making a kinyan whereby he is binding himself that if an oines arises, he will pay. So my understanding of this thesis is that he's making a kinyan over his wealth, his ownings, his property, whereby he is binding himself, his property, to cover payment in the case of oines. So it's not just a kinyan of mere words, but it's a kinyan that has a direct effect on actual property, the shomer's property, that he is being bound to cover cases of oines. Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Ravashi. Ravashi was the second of the explanations as to how to understand when the parties agree to dividing a too small chotzer, the division is binding and they can't back out, that is a result, according to Rav Ashi, of a kinyan, kinyan chazaka. The Tosfos says, Rav Ashi Amar Kagon Shaholach, where each party walked on their respective half, what they agreed to take. Each one agreed to take. One takes the north, the other takes the south. And that walking in each respective half is the Kinyan Chazaka. Tema Lari. The Ri raises a question, Ma bo Rav Ashi Lahosif? What is Rav Ashi coming to add? Is he trying to say that an action of chazaka, whereby you you do an act of ownership, has the same effect as a kinyan chalipin, as a means of acquisition? That's obvious. Venira Lari, the Ha Komashim Lari, who raised the question, he also answers. He says that it seems that Rav Ashi is telling me the following. And the revelation behind Rav Ashi's words are is based on the understanding of a Gemara later in our Masechta, in the third parak. The Amar Diafa the Hol Kamashmalon, the Afagav the Kamar LeKamon Becheses Sabbatim. Even though it is taught later in the third parak that when there is a transfer of property, where A is giving something to B. He is transferring ownership, and B is going to take possession in the absence of A, where A is not present when B is taking possession. So the Gemara says, "Shelo b'fanav," when acquisition is taking place not in front of the actual benefactor or the actual giver. Tzorech. Lemay Marlo, the giver, must say, in order for the kinyan to be effective, he has to say, Lech Chazek Ukni, has to say explicitly, go and take possession and thereby acquire. Hacha, in our case of the two partners dividing the chotzer, Kevon Sheomru, since they said, "Ato tikach ruach tzvenis vani ruach dromis." You take the northern half, and I'll take the southern half. Veholach vehichsik lo kol echad b'shelo, and each one then took possession, walked in their respective halves. Ze sheloi b'fnei ze, and here I think this is the main point. This is what one emphasizes, and that. Their action of walking in their respective halves was done in the absence of the other one. Na'ase kemi shekonu miyodam beruchos. It's as if they made a kinyan chalipa. And this was expression. You'll notice was the first of the two answers given in the Gemara in response to the question of kinyan varm ba'alma, where the first approach was they made a kinyan. Beruchos, that was a kinyan chalipin. So that when you have the two parties, Rav Ashi is telling us, each one saying, "I'll walk in the half, and you I'll walk in my half." Honors, I chose the north, and you chose the south. And once that was said, you take the north, and I take the south. And they went and did so, even though. Each one walked in their respective halves in the absence of the other. It's as if a kinyan chalipin was made, beruchos, regarding the directions. It's binding even without one saying to the other, Lech chazek ukni. So that just to review or to summarize what Rav Ashi is mechadesh as far as Tosfos is concerned. Rav Ashi is telling, he's not telling us merely that a kinyan chazaka is operative, but the kinyan chazaka here will work even without the explicit statement of Lech Chazek Ukni, even though the kinyan chazaka is taking place in the absence where one is not in the presence of the other. And what enables that to take place? And that's because the expression that they used was "Ata tikach ruach tzvenis, vani ruach dremis." That that form of, we'll say, declaration of agreement is is strong enough to replace the need for Lech Chazek Ukni. With that, we conclude our Tosfos Shiur for today.